Good afternoon. It's an honor to do the business of our city in this great city and this great country. Democracy continues to reign, and the opportunity to do the city's business in a public setting is a true privilege. I'd like to call you to order, our meeting to order. Please silence your cell phones as we do on the dais. I want to welcome Pastor Jeff Arp of the Calvary Assembly Church to our podium today and invite you to stand with me as he has our invocation for our meeting today. And then please remain standing as we pledge allegiance to the flag of our country.
Will you bow your head as I pray? Dear wise and loving Father, first of all, let me say thank you on behalf of those who are gathered here today. Thank you for your many and abundant blessings. We thank you for life itself and for the measure of health we need to fulfill our callings. We thank you for your provision and presence here today. We thank you for friendship and the ability to be involved in useful work and for the honor of bearing appropriate responsibilities. We thank you for the freedom that we enjoy and the opportunity to embrace you or the freedom to reject you. Thank you for loving us even so from your boundless and gracious nature. In the scriptures, you have said that citizens ought to obey the governing authorities, since you have established those very authorities to promote peace and order and justice. Therefore, I pray for our mayor, for the various levels of city officials, and in particular for this assembled council. I am asking that you would graciously grant them wisdom to govern amid the conflicting interests and issues of our times, a sense of the welfare and true needs of the people of Winter Park, a keen thirst for justice and rightness, confidence in what is good and fitting, the ability to work together in harmony even when there is honest disagreement. And I pray for personal peace in their lives and joy in their task. I pray for the agenda set before them today. Please give an assurance of what would please you and what would benefit those who live and work in and around our beloved city. It is in your most blessed name I pray. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Pastor, and for all that you represent and your church does in our community and all the good you do, we thank you. Thank you very much. Commissioners, I think that there was a change to the agenda, and I think the agenda we have stated that change before it came out. So there aren't any public hearings, right? You had a public hearing on the Tuesday agenda, but by the Thursday agenda, it was held back. Am I correct?
Yes, sir.
So that'll come to us at a different time. So I'd seek any changes from staff other than that?
No, sir.
I'd seek an approval of the agenda as presented.
Motion approved.
Thank you. Is there a
second?
Second. Good. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Thank you. Now comes to our time, which we will have in both of our meetings in August, times for citizens to speak to us about any comments they have about our budget process. Our microphone is open, and would ask people to line up for that, please.
Joe Terranova, 151 North Virginia Avenue. I'd like to speak about the three action items that the city manager brought up at the last meeting that requires discussion. With regard to the trees, I'd already made my comment about that, but I'll make it again. I think the forestry report is a good one. I think the direction we're going is good. But I do think that we have to be sure that we have an adequate amount in our budget to replace the trees that we are required to cut down. We don't want to find ourselves in the same situation that we are now, where that didn't happen and all the trees are dying at the same time. With regard to the Enterprise Resource Program and the new computer software, I support this project wholeheartedly. My only comment to you is, please don't wait 26 years before you replace this system. If you need to, start setting some money aside now, so perhaps in 10 years, you'll be able to replace this system. Technology is moving ahead very fast, and if we get behind, then we're not going to be able to serve our citizens the way they should be served. The last item is on the organizational support. I agree with the concept that the city manager has come up with, the formula. I think it's a good idea. We've had some big discussions in the past about how to do this thing, and we always come up with something that's a little bit less than perfect. The only thing that I would say is I don't think it's a good idea to include the electric fund or the water and sewer fund in this calculation. Now, the amount of money that you're talking about for them is small. I recognize that. What it's to be used for is a very good purpose. I recognize that. In fact, one could say that for the electric fund, that Progress Energy used to give money to the community, and now we're not doing that out of the fund. But we do have serious problems in both of those funds. We don't want to set a precedent that future commissions can look at and say, well, they did it this way before, and my pet project ought to be one that we ought to take out of the fund. So I urge you to drop them from this calculation. Thank you.
Thank you. Other citizens who wish to speak to us about the budget are welcome to come now. Seeing no other citizens, I will close the citizen budget comment. We will have another opportunity at the beginning of our meeting in 2 weeks, and then we'll have two public hearings on our approval of our 2014-2015 budget at our meetings in September. I'm going to go down to the podium down there to make a couple proclamations. I'd like to invite Dave Zusi to join me. Today we celebrate the best of the United States, not just with the best of parenting, which Dave and your wife represents, but also the best of soccer. I guess known throughout the world as football, actually, right? Only but here. Many of you watched, as I did, the World Cup soccer last month and cheered for our own United States team. But there was one player who, whenever his name was called, I think got all of our interest, and that was Graham Zusi, David and his wife Shirley's son. I don't know how many of you knew that, but Graham has been playing soccer his entire life, and most recently helped the U.S. men's national soccer team in the World Cup. And we got out of the, whatever the zone was, we were like in a tough division right at the beginning, and then moved out of that to play further on in the quarterfinals, I believe. Graham played in all four games and showed the world what a true superstar he is. David, we're proud of Graham. We're proud of you. We're proud of your wife, Shirley, and your family, for raising such a fine young man. And he's truly epitomized the best of athleticism as well as our United States. And I understand we have a little video to watch that you were able to be at the matches down there in Brazil. And then we have a proclamation after that. Dave, I don't know if you're going to narrate for us or not, but welcome.
Thank you, Mayor, very much. It's humbling to be recognized as his dad, and Graham will be embarrassed by the attention. But the video that you'll see is actually one of the qualifying matches, and it was played in Kansas City, which is where his home team plays, and he scored the game winner in that game, and I thought it was just a fun one to watch. It'll only take a second.
Cameron from a decent angle, the 1-2 play, here's Tiscaroon, oh, turned on the trick, Altidore's nicked it away, the attack's still alive, Zusi, advantage played by the referee, arriving in Bedoya, and it's still alive as well, and Zusi, that's for the United States! Graham Zusi, in his home stadium, what a moment for him!
Go back to that 4-2-3-1, and what we've seen in the 5 or 7 minutes that they've been in that formation is a understanding between Jozy Altidore and Mix Discaroon.
And that's the goal that just about seals Jamaica's fate, I would say.
We were very excited because through the modern miracles of technology, Graham was going to be with us today. But unfortunately, due to the modern miracles of travel, he's not able to be, as he keeps a very, very hectic schedule, still playing for the MSL, is it? The major MLS, the Major League Soccer team. The Kansas City, I know it's owned by Cerner, but I don't know. Sporting Kansas City. So we'll have the chance to see him in Orlando next year. That'll be great. We'll be able to come to games here and see him. Just a little bit of information. Whereas Graham was born to David and Shirley and started playing soccer at the age of four, whereas he was named the Orlando Sentinel, Central Florida, and Seminole County Player of the Year as a junior, helping Lake Brantley High School to the state semifinals, whereas Zusi played four seasons at the University of Maryland, helping them win the national championship in 2005 and 2008, and was named the most outstanding offensive player in the 2008 College Cup. I think that's a good thing to be. Yeah, I don't think it's bad to be the most outstanding. Maybe if we're up on the dais, that's not good. But down on the soccer, that's a good thing to be. Where he scored the winning goal in both the semifinal and final game. Whereas he followed up his 2011 Major League Soccer Breakout Player of the Year for his performance during the MLS season with being selected as an MLS All-Star. Whereas 2013 was a phenomenal year for Zusi with accolades such as the 2013 MLS All-Star, Sporting KC Team MVP, and Offensive Player of the Year, which in turn helped him lead his team to the title of MLS Cup Champions. Whereas a six-year veteran of the Sporting Kansas City, Zusi was named to our U.S. Men's National Team final roster for the 2014 FIFA World Cup. Whereas he played in all four war games for the U.S. Men's Soccer Team and contributed the game-winning assist from a corner kick against Ghana and assisted another goal against Portugal. Whereas on August 6, 2014, Zusi participated in his third consecutive MLS All-Star game. And whereas on next Monday, August 18th, Graham celebrates his 28th birthday. Now, therefore, I, Kenneth W. Bradley, by virtue of the authority vested in me as mayor of the city of Winter Park in the state of Florida, do hereby proclaim Monday, August 18th, 2014, as Graham Zusi Day in the city of Winter Park, Florida, and urge all citizens to join in congratulating him for his World Cup soccer success and thank him for his dedication and commitment to the sport, as well as contributions to the growth and impact of soccer in the United States. And I might say, and thank David and Shirley for raising such a great son. Thank you, David, for being here to receive this. Get you a copy of the video of this, and we can at least, he can vicariously understand that the people of Winter Park gave him a standing ovation. So. And by the way, I realize in soccer you got to have a one name to be great. So he's already got Zusi. I just love that. It's just Messi, I think, was named after maybe the way he kept his room as a child, John. I don't know, but Zusi is a great name. David, thank you so much for sharing. And David, what else was not known was David went to go. Well, you were in Brazil for all the games. Is that my understanding? Or for the first three of the games, which must have been a huge thrill, just to see the international crowd come together for something as special as soccer. I'd like to invite John Holland to join me now. You know, John is the director of our Parks and Recreation Department, and we're going to recognize two people that are truly part of our family here in our city and make a huge difference. I'd like to invite Bill and Carol Swartz to join John here with me, as we have a very special presentation honoring them today.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Commissioners, ladies and gentlemen. It's always my pleasure to recognize citizens of Winter Park that give back to the community through their service and volunteerism. Bill and Carol Swartz are one of Winter Park's special couples that have gone above and beyond. Bill was a city employee for 20 years with the Parks and Recreation Department, retiring in 2006 as assistant director. While noteworthy, that is not why we are honoring Bill and Carol today. We are honoring Bill and Carol for their continual volunteering to set up, organize, and run the old-fashioned 4th of July games since the event was born 19 years ago. Every year for 19 years, Bill and Carol have volunteered their time on the 4th of July to provide the kids and adults of the community the old-fashioned games that have been played by Americans for years to come. And it's, believe me, it's hot. It's not easy. There's a lot of stuff going on. But Bill and Carol have informed me that this past 4th of July celebration will be their last after 19 years. So to go along with the mayor's proclamation back in 2006, that August 29th, 2006 is Bill Schwartz Day, we are now honoring you and Carol for your outstanding service award for 19 years of volunteerism with the old-fashioned 4th of July games. Thank you, Bill and Carol, for all you've done for the city. I don't know if we'll be able to replace you, but we'll certainly continue with the games. So, congratulations. Bill's never had a loss for words.
I told Commissioner Leary that the reason we were going to stop was because I didn't want his grandchildren coming out and seeing me pushing a walker and trying to get into a burlap sack on the 4th of July. But we're going to continue. This will be our 28th year doing Santa's sleigh and the 22nd year doing the run for the trees. So we're still going to stay involved. I'm just getting too old to run up and down the field chasing the kids.
Did you hear that, ladies and gentlemen? Carol has donated more than 65 gallons of blood in her life, and Bill more than 55 gallons. That's an incredible commitment to our community. I know based on previous recognitions that's setting Central Florida records. I know you're in the top league with that, and the number of lives that are saved from that are remarkable. But thank you so much for serving our community in so many different ways. I'd like to invite Dory Stone, the Director of Planning and Community Development, up. Dave Boucher, our Manager of Economic Development, and Laura Nordorfer, our Redevelopment Coordinator, join me as we recognize and they recognize our Summer Youth Enrichment Program students.
Good afternoon. Thank you for joining us today. We are here to recognize our SYEP Summer Youth Enrichment Program providers and participants. I'm going to call you up if you would just join us at the dais. We have Kathleen Doss with the Winter Park Community Center, Barbara Chandler with the Hannibal Square Heritage Center, Robin DeMar with Welburn Avenue Nursery and Kindergarten, and Dr. Ruth Edwards with the Winter Park Public Library. We would also like to thank Jackie Brito. She could not make it here today. She's with Rollins, but she was an integral part in providing the students with a business etiquette class. All right, then we're going to get pictures off. And then we're going to bring our students up, if you could join us. Tanisha Venegas, Christian Hampton, Tanisha Rosado. Okay. Kobe Sipp. Kobe's coming around this way. And that's Tanisha. Desmond David. Kendra Wright, Arkell Brantley, couldn't be here today, Jada Carrington, Dwight Lawrence, and Avani Pinard. And an additional congratulations goes to Avani today because she was selected to become a permanent part-time employee over at the Winter Park Public Library. So congratulations to her. And we just wanted to say thank you to all of our providers for being there for us and all of our students. If it wasn't for you guys, we wouldn't be able to have the program. So thank you so very much.
So Laura, we'd like to get a group photo with all of the providers and the students up here with the commission, if that's possible. We'll have
but
to probably go two
faces.
Rows. So. Congratulations, students, and thank you for those of you who made this program possible.
Students in the front. All guys in the front.
happened before, has it?
If I may, Mayor and Commissioners, I want to thank Laura Neudorfer. She does an excellent job of running this program. Every year we take this program and try to energize it and step it up a notch. This year, all of the children and all the young people that you saw had to interview for their jobs for the first time. So we try to make sure we start to build those workable skills into their processes. And these are great kids, and I have a great staff who puts this together. So thank you very much for recognizing
And they
that.
Helped on a lot of our summer programming and things, is that correct? They were involved
They worked for each of these not-for-profits for 8 weeks, and the CRA helps fund the not-for-profit to help pay their salaries. And then they get an evaluation when it's all done.
That serves multiple. Thank you. That serves multiple good things. So thank you so much, team and sponsors, as well as our students. We wish you nothing but much success. Mr. Knight, if you would join me, we have the privilege of recognizing some of our outstanding city employees through our, especially our core value coin recipients. So I'll turn the microphone to you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. It is my pleasure to be before the commission again today and talk about a new slate of employees for this last quarter that have been recognized for representing one of the seven core values that we've developed and are trying to and working on instilling in all of our employees as we continue to provide the best service for the citizens of Winter Park and all those involved. Just to remind you what the seven core values are, there are communication, customer service, diversity and inclusion, ethics and compliance, professionalism, safety, and teamwork. Today in our audience, we have many of the employees that we have presented a coin to. We have a coin with each of those seven core values on them, and if someone's observed doing something extraordinary in one of these categories, they get one of these coins. So we have many of those employees that have gotten a coin in the last quarter. These employees have truly focused on quality by making one or more of our core values come to life this quarter, and today I'd like to recognize their commitment to excellence. But before I call the names of the recipients, I have a few stories I'd like to share with you about the core values of teamwork and the core value of ethics and compliance. My first story is about a team that led the recreation of our employee orientation program, our new employee orientation program. In the past, for as long as I can remember, our orientation pretty much consisted of bringing our new employees up to speed on what their benefits are and the paperwork they have to sign and, you know, how the pension plan works and all those types of things. But under the leadership of Michelle DeValle and Renee Cranis and the rest of the HR department, they wanted to do something that really got our new employees up to speed on what it means to be a Winter Park employee and how we would like to go above and beyond and instill those seven core values. So we have a team of people who came together as the guinea pigs for this program. These were veteran employees that came together to critique the program as we went through it the first time, and I'd like for those individuals to stand. You know, even though they knew the information they heard, they were able to go through the program and give input to make it a better one. And to be able to gather a group of diverse individuals and ask them to see the city with new eyes was so valuable, and I want to thank each of them. And if you're one of those that were on that team that helped critique that program, please stand. Apparently they're working. So. My second story is about two gentlemen that received the ethics and compliance coin for passing a very difficult test with flying colors. The first gentleman is Jim Harlan. Jim, if you're here, please stand. Oh, there he is. Hey, Jim. Jim's been working with the city for 15 years. His mechanical and electronic experience make him a perfect fit for our maintenance of our alum stations, which keep the nutrient load in our lakes in check. These are the devices that the stormwater flows through, and it injects alum, and it takes it and helps that with that nutrient load. Jim also supervises the operators of our VACCON vehicles that remove all the debris and sediment from all of our treatment systems. Jim's hard work in cleaning out all of the stormwater treatment structures keeps the city in compliance with its National Pollution Discharge Elimination System, the NPDES permit, and there's a lot of strict standards that we have to meet in our lakes and waterways. One of Jim's goals was to pass the Stormwater Operator 2 test, a Stormwater 2 operator test, even though his job only required a Stormwater 1 operator license. He was awarded the compliance coin for not only passing that test, but passing it with a 97% accuracy rate. And so congratulations, Jim. And the second gentleman was is Buddy Miller. And Buddy, if you're here, please stand. There he is. Buddy is the city's new engineering inspector who oversees the public works related construction on all public and private sites under the supervision of Jim Struckmeyer. When companies are interested in doing work in any of our rights of way, they have to work with Buddy to make sure that, you know, what they do meets our rules, and that the restoration of the grass and everything afterwards, and then all of the control to keep it from flooding over into the lakes and, you know, losing soil and that type of stuff into the lakes, is also very critical to our NPDES permitting that we do that. And Buddy recently took the Stormwater Operator 1 test to receive his certification, and he too passed with flying colors with a 97% rate. Now, if they were taking the same test, I'd say they cheated, but one of them was the Operator 1, one of them was the Operator 2. But Buddy, good job, and thank you very much. Those are just a few stories of the many from this last quarter, and I want to take a moment now to list the names of the people who received a coin in this last quarter. And if you're here with us today, please stand when I call your name. Receiving the communication coin was Michelle Bernstein and Bruce Lumberg. The customer service coin, George Bradley, Butch Margraf, Keith Moore, Katrina Smith, Sujay Sukadia, there's Sujay in the back. Receiving the ethics and compliance coin, Jim Harlan and Buddy Miller, who we just met. The professionalism coin, Joseph Brown, Karen Cockerham, Tim Millard, Brenda Moody, Jason Seeley. They were so professional they couldn't come to the commission meeting. And then the safety coin, Scott Donovan, Carrie Martin. Carrie, stand up. Joe Newman. The teamwork coin, Jack Bell, Jeremy Bisbee, John Bologna, Pam Bracco, Luke Bryan, Amy Giannotti, Tia Hankerson, Jim Harlan, Richard Heath, Earl Hoffman, Kevin Johnson, Brenda Moody, Rebecca Mora, John Reddit, George Rivera, Chris Drinksinger, Cassia Stevens, Sujay Sukadia, Ellen Varela, Tim Whitesides, and Debbie Wilkerson. And congratulations to all of them. And these are the people who truly make every day exceptional in Winter Park.
Thank you. Thank you very, very much, employees of the city and staff. We sure appreciate what you all do. We also want to recognize one other gentleman who received a very special recognition last week from the state, and I'm going to let Randy just briefly tell you about that. But our own fire chief, Jim White, was named the State Fire Chief of the Year. Is that correct, Chief? I'm not sure if I got that exactly right, but Randy, fill in a few of those details for me, please.
Yeah, that is correct. I'm very pleased to say that Chief White received the Fire Chief of the Year Award from the Florida Fire Chiefs Association, and they had an awards dinner last Tuesday night down in Fort Lauderdale, and they had to keep it a secret to the chief, so they had to create a ruse to get him down there, and so he was down there, and I drove his wife and daughter and my wife down, so he didn't know we were coming, but So they start the banquet and they go through the awards, and probably about, you know, somewhere during this long speech of all the great things he had done, he had to have realized it was him. and then he was sitting there very angry that none of his family or friends were there to see this. But it was truly quite an honor. So his wife and daughter and my wife and I walked up and stood beside the stage, and he's given his acceptance speech. It was off the cuff, and he looked over and saw us, and you know, it was an honor for me as a city manager to know that, you know, we do have the best of the best working for us, and the state recognizes that also. So Chief White, congratulations.
Randy, I think a hallmark of all of our staff is that they're excellent, great professionals, but also very humble. I want to thank all of the staff who have been recognized, continue to be recognized, and certainly recognize Chief White. We'll figure out, Jim, how to get a special recognition for you, but that's really great to do that. Teresa would love to get our picture. Is that what you're saying? With all of the core value winners, if they're still here and haven't left, they're going out the door. Could they stop for 1 second? Come on in, if you join us up on the podium, that would be great, or in front of the podium, we'll get a picture with the commission. That concludes my report. Excellent report. Thank you, Randy, for doing all that, and certainly for surprising the chief. That's a great thing. I was passed a note. There are some citizens who didn't make it for our budget comments. I don't mind opening the floor back up for budget comments unless you all have a problem with that. So I'm going to open the floor back up for citizens who wish to speak to us about the budget at this time.
Nancy Schess, 2010 Brandywine Drive. Yeah, it's difficult trying to be two places at exactly the same time. Anyway, I am disappointed to find out that the matching neighborhood grants and the Keep Winter Park Beautiful Pocket Park grants have been eliminated from this year's budget and actually last year's budget. As our subdivisions age, just like our bodies, and we have to replace parts, as you all know I've had to do, I live in Quill Hollow, for those of you who don't know, and we have been the beneficiary of quite a few of these matching grants. We are a gateway to the community, as so many of the subdivisions are, and so as we try to maintain the appearance on our gateway entrance, without the help of the city, it would be really difficult. We've had plants, lights, wiring. I mean, we put a $100,000 brick wall 30 years ago, and last year we had to put $5,000 of our own money because we had no matching grant to repair some of the brick wall. So I hope you will consider thinking about that, if not for this year, in the future, of reinstating that. Also, I really feel we need to accelerate and fund some more for our trees, for assessment, removal, and replacements. If we have a crisis and we're looking at 4 or 5 years to even take care of the crisis, it would seem like we would want to speed this up and put more money into it. Actually, Wednesday after one of those storms, I parked under a right-of-way tree in my neighborhood that is not on the list to be removed. And when I came out, a 3-inch by 2.5-foot log was underneath my tire. And I'm thinking, oh, no, my computer's been down, my ice maker was down, all these things were happening. I did not need a dent in my car. I had no dent in my car, but this log was under my tire. It was so decayed, it had brushed right along the side of my door and left debris. No scratches. Somebody was looking out for me. But this is a tree that's already been assessed. So give us some thought to if there's not any money. I had mentioned it last year. It would seem to kind of make sense that maybe increase the millage for just a year or two to take care of this crisis. I don't have the specific numbers, but I know if we only raise it 1/10 or 2/10 or 3/10, it would only be maybe $100 a person, and it would benefit the entire community. Actually, from my perspective, I would just assume we raise the millage because eventually, as everything ages, we're going to need some more money. Thank you.
Any other citizens wishing to speak to us? I'll close the floor then. Thank you. We're going to go to the city manager's report. Mr. Knight?
I have nothing. I'd be glad to answer any questions
of the city manager.
I've got one quick one, Randy. Had a chance to speak in front of a couple of neighborhood groups this last week, and besides the density question, I think the one question that kept coming up was about our railroad track crossings, and I was unable to address that, I'll say intelligently, other than to say who actually owns those now and who's responsible. And the one I'm thinking primarily of is right out here by the farmer's market that rattles me every time I come across there, which is several times a day. And what can you help me so I can potentially answer those questions in the future?
I can help you with an answer. I wish I could help you with getting them more smooth. We have two that we get a lot of complaints about. One you mentioned, as well as the one over at Pennsylvania and Webster, that's really rough. It is property of the Florida Department of Transportation. They assured us that once commuter rail project was complete, they would come back in and readdress those. And Don Marcotte has been riding them on a weekly basis, trying to get them in to do this work. And we've just been unable to get them in here at this point. So
it was part of the whole SunRail process.
They assured us when they got done, they would come back and make them smooth again.
Thanks for that, because I wasn't sure who's...
Troy, is there anything you want to add to that?
Where that fell in.
Troy's been more involved than I have, but they always remind you, in the old CSX days that they were here first, that our roads crossed their railroad tracks, their railroad did not cross our roads.
Yeah, we've been trying to keep our crossings on the forefront of their mind. And so we did get them to commit. I got an email today, I believe. They are going to do the one at Minnesota and Holt. Not Minnesota. Pennsylvania and Holt. They're going to do the smoothing on that in September. And they'll close it for a 24-hour period. So we're going to, they've set a date. It's a Saturday. So we'll get out some advance warning for that particular closure. They committed to fixing two more, not permanently, but they will go in and remove some of the wood that's decayed and put asphalt in those areas and smooth them out. So I think we're starting to see some progress, but we're going to continue to, hammer them to keep it on the forefront. So
Troy, may I interrupt for a second, Mr. McKay?
Yes.
No, sure.
Are those the fixes that we're talking about? Are they the fixes that we see at Morse between Park and New York? Or are these just asphalt fixes?
I believe at this time they're just asphalt fixes.
Is there some way to get to whether the city has to contribute? I mean, those other concrete ones are so much
nicer.
Well,
they, right. They that's their their desire is for them to all be brought up to that level. I guess it's a matter of funding and a matter of manpower.
But that's my point. I mean, if we can kind of like we're doing with the quiet zones, if we can jump to the front of the line by contributing to it to help smooth that, it doesn't make any sense to go invest money in it now and 5 years later go replace it.
All right. Let me pose that to them.
Okay.
And find out kind of what the cost might be and how that would get us higher on the list.
Is there an opportunity? I think everybody here has probably experienced crossing that Lyman in New York. And when those gates go up, it's an absolute rodeo. I mean, it's a free-for-all. You see cars. Nobody's stopping at those cars. I don't know whether it's as simple as posting signs right near there, please alternate, or, you know, I don't know what it is, but, I mean, literally, I've...
Yeah.
Everybody raise their hand.
Yippee-yay-yay.
I mean, there's got to be something we can do to at least just remind people to look the other way before they...
Yeah. There are some preliminary plans to tighten the intersection up a little bit. Right now it's very large. Mm-hmm. And with our leftover money from our platform, we're working with the DOT. They have taken a look at that particular intersection and agreed that it's really crazy. And so they've got a preliminary plan, and we will continue with that plan development, and then they will use some of our leftover money from the platform to fund those improvements, and then also to put in the additional gates to make it a quad gate. So there'd be four additional gates that they would put in. And so that would kind of all be one big project. And so we'll continue.
Does that address the free-for-all when they all go up? That's
what well, one of the reasons why it is that way is because the intersection is so large.
Okay.
That stop sign on Lyman is so far back.
Yeah.
And so this particular project will tighten up the intersection.
Okay.
And so I think that'll make
Thank
that a little bit better.
Thanks, sir.
Okay, other questions of the city manager?
I have a couple.
Mr. Sprinkle?
Any movement with the New Hope Baptist Church trailers?
George and I talked about that last week. Go ahead, George.
Aren't we going on 3 years now?
Yeah. You think it's two. But...
Is it two or three?
Maybe
it's too long, whatever.
Yes, their conditional use expires next year. So, but they did submit some plans a week ago and are working on their driveway and their they switched it from asphalt to a concrete surface. If you go by there, you can see that they've formed it up and they'll be shortly pouring it for access to the buildings. Quite some time ago, they did go in there and finish painting them. They're working on the completing the rest of the interior restrooms that were required for the facility. I have not heard an update from the pastor on the status of the paperwork toward complying with a daycare center or preschool, but they are proceeding with the exterior construction out front, which would include drainage and landscaping. That's the latest.
Okay. My other question was, when Ms. Schutz was up here, she asked a question, and didn't we allocate more money this year?
For trees or for?
Yeah, for trees. I mean, we're at $1.1 million right now.
Right. We shifted to contract services.
Right.
So
right.
Pretty much spending the same amount of money, but with a more efficient way of getting more done.
1.1 for 7 years is what we talked
right.
about.
Right.
Okay. And last year, we, at the budget process, added $250,000?
Correct.
Okay. So did we spend $1.1 this year we're in right now?
Yes.
Every penny of it.
Oh, I bet. Okay.
And on the neighborhood grant piece, it just
right.
It was not in the funding. I did talk with Wes today. We do have some previous year funds that have not been allocated, so I'll be working with Dory about seeing if we can... allocate some of those leftover funds from 2 years ago that didn't have as many people apply, so we do have some leftover funds that we could allocate there.
Well, isn't the Quail Hollow neighborhood part of this new part that we're going to be doing with the trees? Didn't I read that?
Well, they were part. Yeah,
Okay, so there's something special going on there right now? Okay, thank you.
Randy, just to follow up to Commissioner Cooper, Commissioner Sprinkle's question on that. Do we have, what is the last year we have information on those matching grants and how much we spent? Are we talking,
I can get it for
$50,000 from the city, or are we talking $250,000? I mean, how much is the, is this, cumulatively, has the city contributed on average?
It's typically been about $25,000 a year.
It's not much. Towards
okay. It. I just want to know what kind of impact it's going to have. Thank you.
Any other questions, City Manager?
Just one more thing, which sure. is, it sure is nice to see this artwork in here today. I don't think anybody realizes how nice it is to look out and see it. It's great. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Brown, any questions or comments from you?
No, sir. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Questions from the City Commission to Mr. Brown?
We don't have any update on our billboard?
Well, I think within the next 2 weeks we should have a final agreement. That the attorneys have circulated what is supposedly a final agreement, and I'm waiting to make sure that all the other parties are comfortable with it before I bring it back to you for final review.
Okay.
It's been, it's really taken an extraordinary amount of time, primarily because multiple attorneys, multiple parties, and it's been very difficult every step of the way. But what's interesting is, all of the terms that affect the city have remained unchanged. The issues are strictly between the landowner and the billboard companies.
Is it costing us money?
Not much. A little okay. bit, because I'm putting all of my time into the retainer, and I do have an associate that's working on some of the interaction with the opposing attorneys, but it's you know, below $1,000 a month, okay. you know, sort of thing. It's not major litigation at this point. And I'm very hopeful that it will be resolved within the next, if not the next meeting, by the meeting following. And what I'll do is if there are, and you know, I've tried not to bore you with each step of the way because it's actually something you wouldn't want to see, I don't believe, every issue that they've raised. But you may recall occasionally I'll forward to you an email with all the attorneys squabbling, just so you get a flavor of why there's been this kind of delay.
I would just like to know at the end how much it's cost and how long it's taken. Those are the two issues that I'd like to see if it's ever over.
I will bring that back to you, along with the final contract.
Right.
Okay, other questions, City Attorney?
Yes, sir.
I'll conclude our report there. We'll pick up citizen comments near the time of the 5 o'clock hour. Move to the consent agenda. Will the commission on this matter?
Move it.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
I'd like to pull item 10C.
There's a motion and a second to approve the consent agenda as presented. Any citizens wishing to speak to us about this matter? Seeing none, I'll close the floor for public comment. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you. Commissioner Cooper?
Yes, I actually wanted to talk about 10C. I'm assuming that we just approved A and B.
That's what we did. We pulled C.
Perfect. This is a program that's been around a long time, and it has always been actually a pleasure and a benefit. Most of the things that we have been able to do have been on a very small scale to individual homes, is my understanding. But this was the first time that I ever actually read the language of what exactly it is that we're giving Orange County the authority to do. And I just kind of wanted to share this with you. It says that Orange County can undertake what's called essential community development and housing assistant activity without our review or approval. And I just wanted to show you the definition of that. It says acquisition of property for disposal for private reuse, especially for low and moderate income housing, direct rehabilitation of or financial assistance to housing. I think that's what we usually see. The third thing is low rent housing activity. The fourth is disposition of land to private developers for appropriate redevelopment. And the fifth is condemnation of property for low income housing. And as I looked at that list and I went on to read, I realized in the last section, and I sent it to you, is that we actually have a choice about that. We can either say, no, we don't want to participate, and then Orange County could not count our population, which is not something that I'm advocating that we do. But the second choice we have is either we give them total consent, but we also have a choice that says that we can approve that they do these things, but only with our express consent of the governing body of the locality. And given given the dollars from HUD and the fact that those are federal programs, I would just personally feel more comfortable if we didn't let go that much of our approval authority. Not that I see anything specifically wrong with any project that I have seen come forward, because I do not, I'm 100% in favor of it. But if we have the option of giving review and approval to these projects as they come through, I sure would like us to hold on to that. And as I read this, it doesn't take away any authority from Orange County. They can still count our population. They can still manage the programs. They can still decide what they get the money for. The only difference is our agreement with them has to express that projects come to us through our commission for approval. And I talked to Randy about it. His big concern was he didn't want rehab projects to come to the commission. He just felt like that was too much, and I get that. I understand that. So my thought was, is there a way to word it such that Orange County is authorized to take essential community and development and housing assistant activities with the consent of the Winter Park Commission, and say such consent would not be required for rehabilitation of existing housing stock? I'm not trying to get in the way of the things. But that's just where I'm at, Doris. I'm hoping we can hold on to it.
I guess before we ask the specific questions, could you put this in the context? We've had this agreement since 1994, according to the cover sheet.
Yes.
So they've been doing things since 1994 in our city, I'm assuming.
Yes. The agreement in front of us today, and I'm superseding Dave, and I bet he's probably happy about that, is that...
he's smiling. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. We've had an agreement in this form to basically work with Orange County on our CDBG, on their CDBG program, which has then spread out into a variety of other programs throughout our community since 94. The federal HUD has required each urban county that qualifies under this to bring forward a new agreement based on some issues that they've had in other states. So they have asked Orange County to come back and renew this agreement. We've been on automatic renewal since 1994, so we've had an agreement similar to this in place for the last 20 years. The agreement that you have in front of you, with the exception of a line which states that you can't give your CDBG funds to anyone else, is the exact same agreement we've had for the last 20 years. So really, it's a federal issue. This will roll over every 3 years, and you'll be seeing an agreement now as long as there's federal dollars to bring forward with the HUD. Commissioner Cooper, the only issue with regard, we did contact Orange County about your concerns. One of the things they wanted to point out is that in the past, some of the CDBG monies that they've used have gone to the Splash Park in Hannibal Square, the community center, renovations on some street improvements on Carver Street. Most of the rehab, as you mentioned, has been our low-income seniors that have been here for 30 and 40 years and need that new roof and are not in our CRA that we can help them. Interestingly enough, we did a little survey and found that our Center for Independent Living gets a majority of our CDBG funds here in Winter Park. The concern with bringing that all to you is, in order to get all of this funded, there would need to be an agenda item. It would need to be approved by you all before those funds could be allocated. We also get money for Meals on Wheels through any of our senior sites. We also have had housing rehab through the Independent Living Center, also for 20 homes that they did back in 2003. Orange County clarified that they have no authority to condemn property in Winter Park and cannot condemn property for low-income housing. They don't purchase land in the city of Winter Park for the purpose of donating such land to developers. That would be something that the city would need to decide to do based on the concerns raised. They follow the housing and community development priorities of the city and things that we would like to accomplish. Those priorities are really set out in the CRA and in our comprehensive plan. So with regard to changing the agreement, the only hesitation with regard to staff, number one, we don't have a housing department to bring these things to you on an agenda, and two, it really is all-encompassing to think about trying to agendize a variety of programs that would be involved in a lot of not-for-profits in our community that deal with CDBG, home, and the emergency services. And that's, it's a policy decision with regard to this, but the concern that staff had is it could be a lot of different players involved to agendize these items.
So the specific concerns are the condemnation. When you raised this in the email to us, you're the city manager. I don't know what the specific concerns are.
Actually, I don't have any specific item that's a concern, but when I looked at assigning an agreement, I thought we should make sure that the authority that we are giving in totality to Orange County is something we're comfortable with. And that list came directly out of the actual agreement itself. Mm-hmm. And that's why I started.
Could you identify that specifically?
Yes, if I can find it. I think it's over toward the back page. I think it's probably the last page before they start listing everything. I have no problem at all with the program. I'm thrilled about the program, and I understand staff doesn't want to have to go through all of the exercise of bringing things to the commission. I get that. So maybe there's a way, and maybe it's unnecessary, but the federal government that we are working under today relative to social programs is not the federal government we were working under 10 or 12 years ago or 15 years ago. So when I look at this and I see how much authority we are granting without our approval, I just thought we might want to take a look at things.
Well, the agreement's with our county, so let's be clear on that.
It is. The agreement's with the county, but they're required to have all of those responsibilities.
If you could identify that in the agreement, that would be helpful. Commissioner Mackin, you're recognized.
Dory, how large are these, we'll call them grants for lack of a better term, are we dealing with millions of dollars a year or tens of thousands of dollars a year?
Entire Orange County program for CDBG is in 2013-14 is $5 million.
So that's for all of Orange County?
That would be for all of Orange County.
And our part of that program
I'll be honest with you, I don't have an exact count of how much they've spent directly in, but for example, the
I'm guessing it's less than a million.
Their housing rehab program, their actual project cost, and that would be for all of Orange County. Now, I know that on an annual basis, we usually send three or four people that call our office to them. It's usually about $20,000 to $25,000, very similar to our CRA housing. Their total housing rehab project is $598,000. They have a Seniors First project that they do for $100,000, and the Center for Independent Living gets $36,000 a year. They do a little bit with Boys and Girls Club, which we were associated with for a while. I don't know if we still are at $39,000. So probably under $250,000 would come to the city on an annual basis would be my guess.
Thank you.
It doesn't mean that we couldn't apply for CDBG. The interlocal allows us to, and I know Commissioner Cooper has expressed interest in looking at that, and I think we should, but it's our application to them, and they get to process whether that request
would
happen.
They would still be able to use our population count. They would still be able to control it, even if we came to the commission.
Right.
Okay. I just want to make sure that was not my intention. Now, I'm having trouble finding the language in here. I sent it to staff and to
the county mayor asked us to sign this.
Yes, ma'am.
This came via Teresa Jacobs.
It actually came through the Housing and Community Development Division of Orange County at this point. Every community that participates with Orange County, every city that they have, will sign an agreement similar.
Is it boilerplate? Is it the same for all?
Yes.
Okay.
It sounds as though the major concerns were condemnation and donating land.
That would be my major concern.
Have we seen that in the however many years?
We haven't seen it, but it is in the language.
Sure. Sure.
And so the question is there a way so that we can make sure we see those kinds of things and not have to see the routine things that you're talking about?
Yeah, I would like to find it in the contract. I don't see it. So go ahead, Mr.
My concern was the unintended consequences.
Mine was the same thing. Yeah.
So I'm wondering, because I would be concerned about condemnation or the purchasing of land in that regard. I don't know why the county would do that. I mean, if they usurped their rights to come in or came into the city and condemn land, but we were not in agreement with that. I didn't see it either as I reread it.
But I believe Dory just said that that's not a concern. The county said they.
No, they said they haven't. So
they'll follow our housing programs per our comprehensive plan. If they step into our jurisdiction, they follow our jurisdiction's plan for housing.
So I mean, I guess we could do a couple of things with this. And is there time urgency on this?
Yes, there is.
There is time urgency. Then I guess we need to either amend it or approve it.
Is it amendable, or if we amend it, does it get? Well, you can amend it anything. I just wonder if they're going to toss it back.
It takes two to tango. Yeah.
So can you strike?
I don't see the condemnation.
Strike a line. The condemnation we're worried about. Can we strike a line?
It was out of the regulations, I believe.
So the definition comes from where?
The regulations. But what we're all worrying about and what we're all discussing.
Well, the federal regulation. I mean, I don't.
It never happened.
The federal regulation gives them the rights, but they would have to go through us.
So they never happen, and they'd still have to go through us. So that's why I'm comfortable moving this. As
will
it
the
is,
commission,
been in existence.
Is that a motion to approve this? Second? Is there a second?
I was just kind of surprised to see some of those powers in there.
But that's the federal regulation.
It's the federal regulation that defines what the central...
I'll second it, too. Oh, Commissioner Cooper seconded it.
Well, and Commissioner, I hear your point, and I take it. I'm just thinking that if it seems like we are kind of protected in their area, there's no experience with it, then 3 years from now, we can maybe get out a little bit in front of this next time.
We can, when we forward this to the county, we will express those concerns to them. And
yeah, if that's in the federal regs, if that's the most current one, I don't know if that's been adopted or not. So,
that was my concern.
There's a motion and a second.
The definition of what that meant before.
I suppose reading probably the federal definition, a lot of things would probably open our eyes to a lot of different things as you've done, Commissioner.
Yes, it would. And the question is, do we really want to give away that level of authority?
But I mean, there's a whole lot of rights that the federal government doesn't take from us, so that would be one that I'm sure Mr. Brown would love to take to the Supreme Court. So, I don't know that right. I don't know that the federal government. Maybe they do have the right to condemn land in the city of Winter Park, but that'd be an interesting case, wouldn't it? The head of the militia might come out for that one. That's me.
Yeah, I thought you were.
I'm still waiting for my uniform, Mr. Knight, by the way. So.
Well, I just want to make sure you understand.
No, that's a good point. Thank
my
you.
Only issue was I did not want to put us in a situation where we were adding additional affordable housing to the community or doing anything that would lead to reducing the current property values within the community without us at least knowing and having a say to what was going on. And that was the reason I thought we might want to at least say they need to come through the commission since we have that authority. But I hear that we're comfortable, and I'm fine with that.
There's a motion and a second. Any further commission discussion?
No, sir.
No, sir.
I'll open the floor for public comment if citizens wish to speak to us about this matter. Seeing none, I'll close the floor for public comment. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you. We're going to go to item 11A.
Good afternoon, commissioners. When you all discussed visioning a month ago and we had talked about a scope, you all had many thoughts and many ideas about developing a scope of work for our visioning process. Originally, back in October 28th, I brought a scope to you. It was a very basic scope. It was a scope that I had put together, cobbled together from several other cities and jurisdictions that had looked at visioning processes. We are very interested in making sure that each of you has participation in developing a scope of work for the visioning process. It is a community-wide effort. You represent the community, and you all have various thoughts and ideas that you'd like to see within the scope. We had very good success using the Urban Land Institute on our Fairbanks technical assistance panel, and we felt that we could go back to them and possibly ask them to find some representatives not within the ULI organization, not that sit on the board of directors from ULI, but from their various resources that would reflect others in either a community, a local government official who has worked on a visioning, a consultant who has done a visioning exercise, a statistician to talk about the need for a statistically significant survey, an academic to really clarify what a vision needs to be and what needs to be incorporated into a visioning process, and maybe even a consensus builder to come together on how we as a community get to what we want our vision to accomplish and where we want to go with it. So we approached ULI about doing a very half-day panel with you all to get together with you to come up with a consensus for a scope of work on this visioning process before we made any other steps to this. Understanding that we know that we want to get moving on this as quickly as possible, we were really recommending looking at the second week of September, September 11th and 12th, to look at this visioning process. We anticipate that it will take no more than a half a day, and we anticipate we had the money in the budget to do a ULI TAPS panel on 1792 that you had already approved. I've just taken a piece of that, the $10,000, which covers only expenses for that day to come out with a scope. The intent of this is to get an agreement on a scope and for you all to unanimously approve a scope of work that you all would have worked through as a consensus to do prior to going out and hiring anyone to come in and do a scope. It is not the intent of the ULI as the visioning consultants. We intend to use them just as a facilitator and to use their broad resources around the United States to find the right people to come in and help us through this visioning process, or at least creating the scope. So that's really the only intent of this. There's no other intent proposed at this point in time, and we wanted to move forward with this and get your consensus that this was a concept that you felt comfortable with and we could go ahead and schedule that date.
I didn't see the date until today.
Well, it's the week of September the 9th through the 12th. We'd like to have it on a Thursday or Friday. Right now, ULI will be, if you all say yes to this, ULI will be reaching out to people to try to get that date locked down, and as soon as they get the participants, we can lock that date down.
Dory, so we have reached out to ULI, and they are
on board to do this.
They're on board. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Excellent.
Is there flexibility on the date?
Yes, ma'am.
And the scope of their visioning is not just going to be land planning. It's going to be
land planning is not even going to get into the visioning
so,
scope.
I mean that should be part of it.
The scope of ULI is to develop a scope of services that you all are comfortable with.
Gotcha.
This is the plan to plan. Right?
It is the plan to plan. Yes, ma'am.
Would it be with other individuals or other citizens or other advisory boards or others that may have interest in input for that? Or
it is you all.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's us.
Will of the commission on this matter?
I move for approval.
Is there a second? I'll second.
I just need some flexibility on the date.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. We'll work through that.
It is all about
yes.
Well, guys. When do we pull in the other groups? I'm trying to figure out from a developing the scope of the scope to the scope itself. And when do we start hearing from the advisory boards? And when do we start? Do we start having those community discussions? Will that be discussed at this?
That is actually part of the visioning process.
Okay.
I don't see that taking place until after we bring a consultant on board. And there's other steps that take place, but I certainly think I would very much like to see us use the boards that we have as our for lack of a better term, with no offense at all, guinea pigs as we go through our visioning process and how we get input from our groups and how we hear what they have to say and how we learn from them at the best way to approach the public as we go through this process.
Dory, originally when you talked about this back in September or October, at that point in time, you actually weren't talking about getting someone else to come in and put together the scope. What was your plan at that time?
I had a draft scope to move forward with. I believe that would have been a point of discussion, a first point of discussion. What I heard when you all were talking about a month ago were very many ideas that needed to be formed into a scope, and I realized that it was...
Did you think they were too diverse to...
I don't think they were too diverse. I just think that it's a consensus, and I think you all need to agree. Before we move forward in spending the amount of money we need to spend on this vision, I really think that as a board, it's very important that you all agree on the scope and understand all the aspects to it.
I think that's critical.
And I just feel like staff kind of trying to be the go between each of you and separately and try to develop a scope is not the best way to do it. It's to get you together in a group and have a conversation about it.
Because it seemed like when I was thinking about it, we had a couple of choices. We could have staff. I know you said you'd done a lot of research on different ideas, so you could give us all those different ideas and let us as a group kind of think about it. You could go out and hire someone to do it, or we could allow the people that propose to propose a scope of how they see visioning within our dollar amount that's available to us. But my only concern is to make absolutely sure from the beginning that there is no concern about this being fair. And I'll be perfectly honest with you, I've already been contacted by citizens that are concerned that the Urban Land Institute is exactly the Urban Land Institute, which means that primarily they are more focused on urban planning. There's a lot of multifamily. If you look at the composition of the management committee, that management committee has attorneys on it that represent the major property owners and the major developers in Winter Park. So if there was any way that you felt like you could use an academic environment to help you, resources to help you, or if you thought staff could propose different visioning ways, I just want us to feel very comfortable from the beginning that we're doing everything possible to make this fair and open. And I believe you are. I truly do believe you are. And the question is, do we need ULI, or is this something that you feel capable of proposing the alternatives to us? If we are ultimately going to choose what visioning process, and you've already done the study that says, I know of these four or five different ways we might be able to do it, maybe that's worth the conversation before we go out and get other experts.
I actually think that reaching out to ULI is about the most fair and unbiased group that we could reach out to. Regardless of their board, which, yes, is made up of certain things, it's also made up of thousands of architects, engineers, landscape architects. It's professionals that are in the business. The board is the board, and boards are boards, and members are members. And I think a perfect example of that was when we reached out on the Fairbanks deal. They sent in people who do this for a living. And I kind of want to separate whatever the board is, because boards are boards. And do they represent people in the development business? Yes, they do, but that's where you find architects and engineers and planners and everything else is in the development business. So,
but we do have academic resources.
Well, we do, but I really, really, really feel strongly about reaching, just from the fairness aspect of, is that you bring in someone that is in the business to do this, number one, but number two, in my mind, you get rid of any bias, because they have no connection. Every time we try to put together a committee here or something else, somebody screams bias. And I don't care who does it, whether Steve does it or I do it or the mayor does it or something, no matter who we pick.
I have not done that.
No, that's not that you scream bias, but if we attempt to put together a
group. I'm not screaming bias.
But, you know, that's happened. And I really am on your page that this needs to be as fair and upfront and as clean as it can possibly be, or I don't want to take part in it. So I am extremely comfortable in that, mainly because these guys and these people, men and women, mm-hmm. are in the business. They know the value of a dollar. They know the value of time. And I think they will come in a very efficient manner and help us write a scope. Because, like Dory, I've seen all kinds of scopes for this kind of stuff, but I'm not a person that can put that together in a manner. And it's going to be, so they're going to advise us. We're eventually as a commission are going to agree on that, and we may vet that amongst other people in this community or not if we so choose, but right. I think this is a great step to get us to that.
As point. I would see the process, obviously, even from a work session, this would come to some sort of formal approval process before
yes.
it's let out. So as I read your information to us, this doesn't sound like an Urban Land Institute. This is a representative from a peer city, which I'm assuming is someone who's been an elected official,
yes,
or
sir.
Someone who is an elected official, or someone, for example, like a city manager. A consultant has worked on community-wide visioning processes could be numerous people that have done that. A representative from a qualified survey consultant, not necessarily anything to do with land planning. I mean, that could be Gallup, for all I know. An academic expert on community visioning and a regional business leader. That's who they would suggest would be the people that would advise us in this and seek the consensus that we're looking for. That doesn't sound very biased to me, so that sounds like a pretty good group of people that could give us good advice.
I think it's a great step for us as a body to have this opportunity to all get on the same page. And I think that's what they're going to facilitate us doing. And we do need that.
Yes.
Okay, so let's just say that we realize that. And nobody on our staff needs to attempt to do that, nor really anybody right here in this community who owns something. I'm delighted you're going to go outside to a group like that, and I'm looking forward to it.
Well, and if we've got to lean, I'm glad I see in there a consultant working on the community-wide visioning process and an academic expert. So I think we have that academic aspect to it, but if I've got to fall back to practical or academic, I'm much happier to go lean towards practical application and see the guys and ladies who actually live this day to day.
That's just because you're not an educator, Steve.
Oh, we see your bias now, Commissioner Springfield. So. There's a motion and a second. Further commission discussion?
Yes, sir.
I'm not going for public comment. Any citizens wishing to speak to us about this are welcome to. Why not?
Nancy Schutz, 2010 Brandywine Drive. As you all know, I try to keep informed, and it's really hard because I haven't been coming to the meetings or anything. So my point is, as I sent an email about 6 weeks ago, but I'm reinforcing it even now because as I've tried to update my knowledge of what's going on with facts, and everybody's always asking me what's going on, how I'm supposed to be their resource of information. So I take it seriously to try to know what I'm talking about. But I think our first step, and maybe the staff can help us get started, is educating the public. We can't ask the public their opinion on something when they don't know how we are run. Whether it's economic development or what the residents need, we need facts. We need to know the demographics of our population and the ages, the housing costs. We need comp plan for dummies 101 because you start talking PD1, PD2, comp plan, land development, and I'm sorry, I get lost. And if I get lost, almost everybody else is going to get lost. So between talking to staff and my husband, who was a developer for 40 years, I try to know that much, and I don't know much. So I really hope in the next month, as you're trying to figure out how we're going to contact everybody, our first step is let's have some town meetings or put emails out on the website with the basic information. I mean, number one, we need to tell people there was no variances for Trader Joe's parking and the Denning complex. I mean, I'm like you. I hate to hear people being nasty about things that they don't know anything about. So the more information that we can get out there that's factual, yes, we don't like the Denning. Why it's not wedding cake and why it doesn't look better, I don't know. But we've got to stop the negative discussion of people not knowing what they're talking about and putting out false information. So I hope that you will authorize the city to start coming up with a plan right now to get some facts out. Granted, some people aren't going to hear it. They don't care what the facts are. They're too narrow-minded to listen to anything. But I think it's important that we start with education.
Thank you.
Hi, Dykes Everett, 341 East Webster. I want to tell you, I think this sounds like a great idea. I commend you. I commend Dory for working hard on it, putting that together. I think ULI is a mean, they're a first-class organization. They'll bring great balance. I think it's a super way to develop a scope. I commend the process of y'all coming together as a commission to form the scope. I think that's brilliant and just great. So thumbs up. I appreciate it. Appreciate that.
It's hard work to.
Thank you.
Other citizens wishing to speak to us? Hearing none, I'll close the floor for public comment then. Any further commission discussion?
No, sir.
Let's hear the clerk read the roll then.
Commissioner Leary?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Commissioner McMackin?
Yes.
Mayor Bradley?
Yes. Mr. Knight, I know before we go into the details of this, I'd like to ask how you want us to process these things that we've sent through. So I don't know if you have some thoughts about that. And we moved on to item 11B. Okay.
Sure. On page 25 of your packet is a compilation of the commission input. I'm open. I did want to give you an update on one of the items on the list. Commissioner Sprinkles.
I think we've all talked about Katy Wade Pool, so why don't you give us an update on that,
okay,
too.
Okay. All right. So I'll start with that one. Katy Wade Pool. We still have a little over $150,000 left of the money that the city allocated towards that project that we're waiting for the Y to raise there. Remember, they were supposed to raise a match for that. The cost of the pool heater is about $140,000. They were supposed to raise $70,000 of that. We have our $70,000 as part of the $150,000 we have left. Unless there's a desire to not have the Y match, I believe we have enough to meet our obligation that we committed to 2 years ago in the budget process.
Randy, as part of that, there are other, and the pool looks markedly better than it did a year and a half ago when we first started looking at this. There are also some major issues regarding the facility itself, the building, the bathrooms. Do we have a budget for that, an idea of what that's going to cost to renovate?
We do. I didn't bring that, but they had...
They put one together, as I recall.
I'm trying to remember.
And I don't know what that number was, Commissioner, but I know they had put some number together. Right. That was a phase two and phase three to redo the restrooms and to get hot water and showers. And
does that 80 kind of...
I think the hot water in the showers and all that was about a $40,000 project. They've had a contribution.
Sounds like they're using my plumber.
Yeah.
so
they had.
I only got a bathroom out of that.
So through no fault of anyone's, I think there's a lot of we're not all getting the same information on one page. So I'm wondering if city staff could meet with the Y, and maybe at our next meeting because we still have time to address something in this budget.
Right.
Everybody could bring back to us what's been done.
Okay.
What hasn't been done. And I'm not suggesting anybody's giving inaccurate information. I just think that everybody's seeing the elephant from their perspective. So the elephant's a trunk, the elephant's a tail, the elephant's a leg.
Right.
And we're the ones charged with seeing the whole thing come together as one beautiful place.
Sure.
So, and I think there's been big progress made. I commend the city staff and everybody on that. But do we have heaters or not? Do we want heaters or not?
Right.
We had to do a deck we didn't know we had to do. Was information I learned from the Y. I don't know if that's all. I mean, I think if y'all can meet in the next 2 weeks and bring us back a definitive, everybody signed off on this is what's happened, this is what we think, I think that'd be helpful. That's it'd be helpful for me to see it.
Yeah.
And I'd also like to understand fundraising, you know, how we're doing with that.
Okay. Commissioner Sprinkle.
And I'd like to have a pool heated over on Katy Way so that the people in that community can swim year-round. So I would really like to see that happen sooner rather than later. So you know that's been an issue for me. So I'm just hoping that we can figure out a way to make that happen.
So I, for one, could vote to spend money that we had allocated for a gazebo or something in another place for this if necessary. But I just don't know really... If the 125 covers it now, it does based on what you've said.
Well, there's still the parking lot to be done. And the original project, I'll bring the original project list also, but we will update it, show you what's been done, what still needs to be done, because there's out of our $150,000 left, there's still $150,000 worth of projects to take place, and then they were going to raise money for certain things like the heat in the restrooms. I think was one of their items. And then their half of the pool heater, $70,000 to match our $70,000. They have told me that they, you know, one of the things they'd like to do is they committed to give us $70,000 that was the property taxes off the houses they took off the tax roll. They want to count that towards this project. So that's a commission decision.
I'm not sure I understand that, but if you'd put that in the document too, that might be helpful for us to understand, because I think there's a lot I don't think anybody's telling us wrong information. I just think we're all not getting a single source of information.
And I know they met with some commissioners, and I believe they misunderstood some information we had provided them about.
That's entirely possible.
And I've communicated with Bud since then, letting them know we did still have our share of the matching. They were under the impression we'd spent all of our money just redoing the pool deck and the shell.
That was a separate.
Well, it was the same pot of money, but the original bid that came in was very high, and we would have had to spend all of our money just to do that. We did some value engineering and rebid it and made sure the contractors really understood what we were looking for, and it came in within our budget the second time. So I believe they got their information after the first bids came in, and we didn't update them to let them know we still had our match. So, but we'll be glad to bring that back to you next time.
I think that would go a long way. I think. Well, and if you could just briefly in one page at the top revisit why we went to do this. We wanted to heat it.
Right.
Tom, you were leading some of this with us. Beautification of that area.
Yeah, I mean,
it was fixing the pool.
Yeah, I mean, the big thing was, I mean, that was a community asset.
I think seeing that those things have been done would be very helpful.
Yeah, we either, you know.
It is our asset. It is our asset.
We either take care of it or not. Yeah. And so I think that was the impetus.
And if we could see what's left, then that might help us either budget for it or understand what they need to still raise. Or it's just one of those wonderful times to kind of get knee-deep in a project and just kind of revisit it. So. You were going to say something about it, Commissioner Sprinkle.
Yeah, the arts board, the $10,000 for the arts board. I did talk with Wes today. There is funds left.
It's in the planning budget.
Well, there's funds left. Well, there's $2,000 in the planning budget that pays for the art in the chamber, that type of thing. But we also still have $27,000, if I remember right, Wes, left over from previous fundraising of the arts board as well as previous city donations that, you know, when they did their art in the park, they did a fundraiser as part of that, and they do have almost $27,000 left over that is available to them. And I'm not sure they're aware of that. We'll make sure they know that.
Yes, well, you can remove my request. That's been taken care of for the event.
And Mr. Mayor, I'm glad to go through this either line item by line item, or if anybody wants to make a pitch for what they're suggesting here, however you want to proceed on these other items on the list.
Well, since I started off with 7 or 8, let me just talk about one general principle that I have, and that is a concern that as we get out of this, I guess you would say, horrible economic times and getting into better economic times, that we don't overspend ourselves. So I was concerned as I saw, I think, all but one of our funds had actually decreasing of fund balances at the end of 2015 than when we began. General fund was going to be up, but electric would be down in fund balance, I believe. Water was down in fund balance. Cemetery fund was down in fund balance. I'm trying to remember one other fund. So that speaks to me about are we preparing or getting ready? I realize there's a lot of things on our plates. We already saw this IT project, which I don't think is in our budget per se.
First year of a 3-year project.
Yeah. So I guess my simple message is I don't think we can do it all. I don't think we can do it all, and my concern would be, and I'm not exactly sure where this should be. Should we decrease a little bit of spending, especially on capital projects, realizing we're going to be spending more on capital projects than we've ever spent. So it's a certainly over the last 5 years. So it's a decrease in the increase is what I'm saying. Do we spread that out over a little longer period of time? Do we take a project and maybe make it over 2 years so that we can keep our fund balances? I think it could become a dangerous precedent if we overspent, even if this is a good time. And we've got one of those key things that we have to do right off the bat, obviously, is making sure that our staff, who we've already recognized, are appropriately compensated. This is a good time, while other municipalities might be raising taxes, for us to not do that and get our staff right you've got some IT things coming. I was overall concerned. That represents the majority of my commentary. So case in point, electric funding is, I think we went from $1.8 million, if memory serves me, in capital. This budget suggests, was it almost $4 million?
Well, I'm not sure what you're comparing to a previous year actual. The budget's been consistently in that $4.5 million range.
Well, our spending this year was less than that. So, I mean, if you have funds that are left over that are going to be spent, maybe that's something I haven't taken into consideration.
Yes, Mayor.
But as I looked at the fund balances, they were going down at the end of the year. Yes, sir.
Before we get into this, I just wanted to point out the time to see if you wanted to take specific comments, because I know this is going to be the bulk. It's 5 o'clock.
I'm happy to do whatever you all want to do.
I was just offering that up to you. I know that there, in case there's anybody sitting here, rather than waiting through our entire budget discussion.
It's whatever you want to do. I'm happy to pause this if you all want to pause it. Okay, we'll open the floor for public comment then about any matter not on our agenda today that's coming that you'd like to speak about.
You're supposed to, but it's your former mayor.
We'll track you down.
Gary Brewer, 1250 South Denning Avenue in Winter Park. Had an interesting conversation at my lunch at Rotary today, and it was in reference to how our ordinance governs the placement and duration of signs placed by a political action committee that does not happen to be on a ballot question, whether they are, you know, there's a referendum on a certain ballot issue or a candidate, for instance. I know it addresses candidates and the duration of placement of those signs during the campaign season, but does the code address political action committee signage and the duration of those signs?
I guess that'd be one for Mr. Brown or Mr. Knight to answer for the citizens.
It doesn't specifically address signage that is unrelated to a campaign, whether it's an issue on a referendum or partisan or nonpartisan individuals running for office. We have submitted a draft to staff, and I think that's working through the process of some suggested changes to your sign code. One of the things to mention in your sign code is it says that with political advertising, the signs can only be up, I think, 45 days, and that, I think, conflicts with state law, which has no such time period. So as the Supreme Court has told us a couple of times in the last couple of years in cases, you can't have an ordinance where a citizen could be in compliance with state law yet violate your local law because it would conflict with state law. So there are some things, and staff is not enforcing that 45-day issue because I'm trying to not have First Amendment litigation. But to answer the question, if you look at the plain language in your ordinance, if someone wants to put a sign on their yard and it deals with First Amendment protected activity where they're commenting on an issue that's important to them, if it's unrelated to a pending referendum election or an election to elect a person to an office, your code just doesn't address that. And you could limit those types of signs as to number and size. And all signs, I think, arguably are limited in terms of number and size.
Number on a piece of property.
Number on a piece of property. But again, if a person had 7 issues that they're interested in, they could have 7 signs, or you're going to have, and you could regulate the size of all of them. And that's kind of where the courts are at.
But political speech is different, am I correct?
Than political
speech. I mean, political speech has its own protected status, for lack of a better term.
Yes, sir, it does. And there have been a couple of Florida Supreme Court cases in the last few years where you can't benefit or restrict political speech as compared to religious speech or other types of speech. So in other words, to the extent your existing ordinance tries to say, well, for all other types of advertising, there is no time restriction, but if it's political speech, you're on a 45-day time clock. That's really problematic, and we need to clean that up, and we have a draft.
So I think we looked at a first pass of some signage changes anyway. Is that going to be part of it? Or
Yes, Shell sent it back to us to do some, add some additional things, and we're working through that.
Yes, sir.
Do you want us to deal with like monument signs and all of that at the same time?
So if I want to put up, Graham Zusi's a great guy, can I put up seven of those in our city or not? I mean,
those are the questions. In the city, yes.
I can only put up one. In my yard, I can't put up any.
One.
I can put up one.
Of the right size.
So are you limiting my speech? I mean, I'm just asking.
Well,
maybe my speech is put up Graham, Zusi, Sovereign. Great. That would be four signs.
And there are people that test the limits of these First Amendment issues.
It's kind of like, what's 10 items in the grocery line?
I don't know the circumstance, but we have had someone who has perpetual signs in their yard about
it
seems to be a horrible situation. I haven't looked into it. But
that's right. And they have
a family member was killed or something. And,
yes, sir.
And I mean, I drive by it every day and don't know, is that...
It's protected by the First Amendment.
So they can have seven, but...
It's protected by the First Amendment. The city does have a legitimate interest in... You can regulate speech, reasonable time, place, manner restrictions. And so you can say that on private property, all signage must meet certain criteria as far as dimensions of the sign. The problem is if you try to then make content or viewpoint-based distinctions so that those sizes or dimensions apply one way for political speech, one way for religious speech, one way for, you get into some real problems.
Well, it gets into real estate open houses and a lot of things. I'm assuming that's all being looked at.
It is.
Come back with our sign ordinance.
It is, Mayor.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Good evening. Thank you for having the option to be here today. I'm sorry if I'm a little nervous. It's my first time, but I did prepare some things to say, so if you'll just bear with me.
If you tell us who you are, that would be helpful.
Just about that. My name is Allie DeMaria. I'm the executive director of the Winter Park Day Nursery at 741 South Pennsylvania Avenue. I just want to take a moment, really, I'm here to say thank you for even considering offering funding to the Winter Park Day Nursery this year. We're grateful to be considered once again. We know that the city's been doing well, and as you said, you don't want to overspend, and we greatly respect that. We also know the importance of the investment in the early childhood education field and what we provide for our community. I know we've received funding from the city each year between 2001 and 2008, ranging in denominations, and we're just grateful for your consideration once again this year. We generally enroll up to 70 students as determined by our square footage and ratio of our accrediting agency. However, we're licensed by the Department of Children and Families to serve 95. We choose to keep our enrollment at this lower rate so that we can keep those higher standards and that higher education for our students. For 75 years, the Winter Park Day Nursery has provided this secure, nurturing, and educational environment that is affordable and supports the family diversities that we find in Winter Park, both of our residents and those who choose to work here in this beautiful city like myself. With the support of the commission, along with the community, those who live in Winter Park, as well as those who work near Winter Park, will be able to continue taking steps towards our vision of building a stronger community by providing high-quality, affordable early childhood education that will prepare children to succeed in school and life. We plan to do this through engaging and educating our youngest citizens as well as their families. All income levels, all diversities, all family types, and we want to help them to learn what it's like to feel productive and to feel like successful members of this community. And we really are grateful for the opportunity to even be considered for funding from you all to support that mission. And if you have any questions of me now or at a later date as to where that money goes and what that does and who we serve, I invite you to call and come by. I'm happy to give that to you. So thank you.
Thank you. Other citizens wishing to speak to us about matters that are not on our agenda?
Good afternoon. My name is Robert Rich. I live at 502 Brecken Drive, Winter Park, Florida. And I'm here to talk a little bit about or find out in terms of hopefully you'll put the sidewalk issue on Kimbrae's and Brecken on the back burner until a further investigation goes on it. It seems that consideration was not given to the residents of the street to understand the traffic patterns. I've talked to the city, and they've indicated that they've done studies in the past. Well, we've all been concerned about the speed limit in the past. Approximately 4 years ago, the city promised to put the yellow stripes on Brecken again and the reflecting lights, or reflectors on the street. an attempt to slow traffic down, these street signs too in terms of the speed limit, wasn't done. The fact is that a study was done regarding the sidewalk installation from the north side of Bankery up to Kimbrae's. Well, the fact is there's already a sidewalk that stops on Kimbrae's at Dunraven. Now, that's the crosswalk that's proposed to go across the street. It does not make any sense. That's the main thoroughfare for the high school students that turn on a regular basis to go down the high school at any speed, and adults too. So you have the issue of Dunblane too. It's the same cut through. Well, Brecken Drive is very, very unusual. I've lived there 30 years, so I know a little bit about the characteristics of the street. The fact is, it's a cut through for business people in the morning to get out to 436 in University Boulevard. It's a cut through to the high school at different times of the season. It's a cut through for Katy Way for all the football games and the events that go on up there. Many times people are lost when they come through there. There are school buses that come through there from, hopefully they're not our school buses, but they come through that street at 40 miles an hour on some football nights. Constantly there are people that are lost. Now you also have people coming up, going up to the hospital, going up to Katy Way, going to the YMCA. So I don't really think there's been a thorough analysis of the best positioning of that sidewalk. And also, too, the sidewalk, side of the street, the sidewalk was chosen. It's actually on the other side of the street, there are rental houses. Now, why would you go on the house that, on the side of the street that actually people have lived there for years and forego the other side of the street? But that being the case, it is needed, but it's the wrong location, and other considerations have not been addressed. I also would like to ask the village and city to go back and address the street signs in terms of speed limit, and also the solar-powered signs you were supposed to put up regarding the actual speed limit. You could see what your speed limit is when you go through there. Thank you very much.
Thank you. That'll be referred, obviously, to our city staff to address. Are there citizens wishing to speak to us about matters on our agenda? Seeing none, I'll close the floor for public comment. 10 minutes? Is that all right? Can we take a break?
Yes.
Okay. We'll sit adjourned for 10.
Okay. Thank you.
We're going to come back to session. Thank you so much for a brief break. We're picking back up on the budget discussion, and then we'll go. I think that will conclude our agenda, with the exception of our commissioner comments. I was just making the point, and Mr. Knight, I'm not trying to be pejorative or anything. I realize there's a lot of pent up demand in our city for a lot of things that need to get done. I guess I'm just interested in what should be the pace, and should there be, because in all areas I think we're increasing. Even if we took all of my proposals as presented, I think we were still spending more money than we would have been even in years past. And I'm not saying that's not the right thing to do. I'm just intrigued. So this is our first chance to be able to talk about it publicly.
Right. And if I may, there's a story behind each one of these, and a reason why it's carry forward fund balance that's being spent towards capital project versus current year operating. In the water and sewer fund, there's two expenditures of carry forward fund balance. One is because it's water and sewer impact fees that have been accumulated over time that can only be used for expansion of the system. So there's projects funded this year that are carry forward impact fees. And that's why it doesn't show as revenue coming in this year to offset those capital expenditures. The operating.
So that explains water.
And there's a second project there that's the Iron Bridge, the work that they did at Iron Bridge. That's our contractual obligation. We issued bonds several years ago when they were supposed to start the project. They finally are doing the project now, so they're waiting for our money. So that's still water sewer. Electric is also bond money carry forward that we have left from the undergrounding bonds that we did several years ago, that we're spending that down over the remainder of three more years. So that's why that one is going down in fund balance. And then the general fund.
So I appreciate that, but and let me just talk about those two if you don't mind me interrupting you. What I've not heard in my 5 years on the commission is that we have said
and I'm going to treat these two entities, utilities, as a business in our city. What should we have as the right? I mean, maybe the right thing to do is maybe give them bond money back. I mean, I don't know if that's the best thing to do for our the health, the financial health of our utilities going forward. So those are multiple options, obviously, but I would love to have a dialogue about we should have this, we should have this, we should have this, and then really manage toward that versus we've got bond money that's left over, so let's spend it.
Well, we have that bond money was specifically for undergrounding, and so we're using it for undergrounding. But to answer your question, we our policy is that we should have 45 days of working capital on hand. And in both of these funds, we will have that at the end of the fiscal year.
And again, and maybe that's our current policy. I don't know if that's, if it was any of our individual businesses, 45 days working cash on hand as our sole goal for managing these entities would not be sufficient. So that's everything from you know, what, and I'm going to say this in a delicate way, our utilities do need to create a profit so that we can continue to invest and address, like what Mayor Terranova said earlier, that you know, you don't want to ever get in a place where you're not reinvesting in something. You don't want to do it necessarily on a pay-as-you-go basis. And again, I don't know if 45 days working capital, you could do a lot of dumb things and still have 45 days cash on hand in terms of the way you spend money, too.
Sure, absolutely.
So I don't know if that's the right metric. I know that's our initial metric. I'm not saying that's not a good place to start.
But I just want to point out that impact fees can't count towards working capital.
Good point.
That's money that can only be used for expansion of the system.
So I'm wondering if those can't be, and I don't know if there'd be even a way to, maybe not in our current in our current accounting system, if there was even a way to recognize those. I don't know.
And then the other one is the general fund, which, you know, I do have, when we got the FEMA reimbursement, we talked it, you know, way back then about possibly using that for the Quiet Zone project. And just timing-wise, it got deposited. So it's in fund balance today, as you know, and so it shows as a carry forward to fund balance if we use that for Quiet Zones. The rest of the budget, operating budget balances, you know, we're not spending fund balance to do the operations of the city.
No. We're spending fund balance to do capital improvements,
right,
and other things.
Correct.
Yeah. With the exception of I'm going to go back and do the math to see if we're spending more in the general fund than we're taking in.
We are, because I have that $700,000 coming forward of FEMA money that's going towards that capital project. So yes, sir, we would reduce fund balance in this budget as currently proposed because we're spending that FEMA money as a match for the Quiet Zones project.
And that's a good use of our money, in my opinion. I would vote for that.
So. If we pulled that out, are we balanced?
If you pulled that out, we'd be balanced. That's right.
Okay.
There's another $50,000 going towards the MLK project. That was the money from CNL, and there was $50,000 CNL and $50,000 from Casto for the stormwater project. So that's also showing as a carry forward. But we've got, you know, we have a positive $500,000 going into fund balance. So if you took away the $700,000, there would be a positive growth in fund balance for the year.
Well, that's the most important thing to me. I'm trying to understand the capital undergrounding discussion, because if we're spending capital funds that we've already received, we're also spending some of the excess of revenue over expenses in the electric utility. Call it profit, call it whatever you want to call it.
Right. We have roughly $3.1 million of the operating funds going towards undergrounding, and $400,000 of bond money going towards undergrounding to get to our $3.5 million we've been spending each year. There's also,
how much was for operating a regular routine capital that's not undergrounding by $1.4 million?
About that much.
Yeah, so a total...
And that's been consistent, am I correct?
Yes, sir. And so all that's within the balanced budget except that $400,000 of bond money that's a carry forward because we've received those bond funds several years ago. So the electric fund, with the exception of the extra $400,000 of bond money we're spending, is paying its own way this year. It's not, we're not dipping into reserves to balance the electric fund budget.
Randy, regarding the undergrounding, I just want to hear again from you that we're still on track. When we took over the utility, we said, how many years?
Well, when we took over the utility, we said 15 to 20 years, and it's been 10. So we've got another 9 to 10 to go. We got a little behind this year because of some things that happened, but we're catching up now.
Okay, so we're still on track to be to the outside number, to the 20-year?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
If we took the money we got back from FEMA out of our balanced budget, what would we be finishing the year with for our contingency fund? If you took that away?
If we didn't spend the $700,000, we'd be around 28% less.
28%. And this balanced budget is going to come in at 27?
26 point something.
Just a hair under 27%.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, that's a good number, too, because the mayor was talking about what we have in reserve for electric and water at 45 days, and I think we're at 120 in water right now.
Yeah, water is way over. Right.
And what is the standard that people hold? That I know we're shooting above standard with our general fund reserve. What's the standard that other cities are using? Was it 10%?
For working capital?
Yes.
And what in like the utilities you mean?
No, just in the general fund.
In the general fund, it's all over the board, and you know the League of Cities and the National League of Cities and those organizations recommend that you have at least 15%.
Okay, so and I'm just drawing the comparison to the mayor's point. I mean, 45 days in electric and water seems to be an average, and we're shooting above average in our general fund. We should probably finish shoot above average in the other funds as well. And I'm not sure what that arbitrary number is, but it would be nice to if we could.
Well, I'm not sure the 45. I mean, I think, and I don't want to correct Randy, but I think you're referencing the general fund. I don't know what the right number is for water and sewer specifically. That's a starting place, but
gotcha.
I mean, if we did a true financial statement, we've at least over the last 5 years been able to pay back the city additional monies that we needed to invest in electric utility. Obviously, the utility has good fair rates for our citizens, appears to be below the benchmark, at least if you use Duke as the benchmark now, which is good. I just want to make sure we have something that's an ongoing concern for generations to come versus something that we look at right now and go, isn't this great? And
sounds
then
good.
We overspend in any area. When I say overspend, spend more. We're going to spend more than we've already spent in last year, which is good. But how much is right? That was principally all of my comments.
Mr. Mayor, are you still making the recommendations that we have here on the form? I have some questions if you are.
Well, the argument for the cemetery trust fund, I think, isn't. I would argue for that personally. I don't know what the inflow is for that. But Randy didn't address that one, and I think that...
Yeah, the cemetery trust fund, just so everybody knows, the revenues that come in for the two cemeteries for sale of plots goes into this fund as a kind of supposed to be a perpetual maintenance fund. And the commission years ago amended it so it could also be used for capital projects related to the cemetery. So we have about $1.3 million in there, Wes. Somewhere over north of $1 million.
It's north of $1 million, but it's less than $1.2 million.
Less than $1.2 million. Okay. And so the proposal here is to build a $200,000 building at the Pineywood Cemetery, which currently just has a little thing there that when people come to make arrangements, they're, you know, they don't have an office, they don't have a bathroom, they don't have a good maintenance shed for equipment and that type of thing. So this would put that into that facility, which has never really had that adequate. So spreading it over 2 years is not a problem at all.
So I'm not looking at what we need to do there, because I'm in complete agreement with the capital investment. What I'm concerned about is what should we maintain in the cemetery trust fund so that we can meet what appears to be thousands of people's understand that there'd be a permanent maintenance when they bought their plots there.
Right. You mean what balances it need to get?
Yeah, I don't know what it should be. I mean,
we'll have to work something up for you on that. The obviously doing what's proposed here at the end of fiscal year 2016, you're going to have the exact same amount of money at the end of 2016, whether you spread the $200,000 over 2 years or do it all this year.
But what I understand is what's coming into the fund.
Right. Do you know what the annual revenue is, John or Wes, to the cemetery trust fund?
It varies widely.
Because it's all based on how many plots are sold.
But we're almost ready to max that fund out. So, I mean, max the land out, I think. So, I mean, I don't know what the annual... I'd feel different about this if I knew that we had plenty of money in those funds and that the annually it costs us $100,000 a year to care for both of our cemeteries, and we have $1 million, and at 10% we cover that or whatever. I don't see that in the way I've looked at it this point.
We can work those numbers up for you. I mean, I can tell you there's not enough money today, especially at today's interest rates,
right,
that would generate enough to maintain it, maintain the two cemeteries.
And water and sewer, Randy, with your definition again, I'm obviously, there have been impact fees that we've received that we need to spend on the system. But my sense is the impact fees don't drive what we spend on the system. What we spend on the system is based on what we need in the system. Am I correct?
Yes.
So there is a greater need to invest in capital in the water and sewer fund now than there has been?
Well, the Iron Bridge project, as I said, and that's how much... How much is that Iron Bridge project?
I think it's around 1.5.
Yeah, so $1.5 million project is our contractual commitment to the upgrades they did out at Iron Bridge. And we when we did the bond issue...
We funded that several years ago.
We thought we were going to be spending it that year.
Right, that's what I thought.
And then they kept delaying the project, re-engineering.
So that's just been a capital call, basically.
Right, so that money's just been sitting there waiting for this project to finally take place. The impact fee project is bringing, you know, is to serve that area where the Kmart is, the Whole Foods, and Ravidage to connect that out to Wymore that takes it onto the Altamont Springs sewer plant, and it also puts in additional water capacity for that whole section of town. So that's spending the water impact fees and the sewer impact fees.
Well, that's helpful to me, Randy. I appreciate that information. Other citizens, any other commissioners?
None on that, sir.
I mean, you had planned more additional trees. I don't know if you want to speak to that or not.
Yeah, I saw Randy's comment there, and what I'd really prefer to do is make sure that we, if we so desire, have that $100,000 in the budget, and if we can backfill it with selling of equipment or something like that. But I'm going to ask that we, you know, make sure we fund that up front.
How many more trees does that capture?
That's about 125 trees, I believe. We're planning 250, or we're planning one, whatever the number was, but it was 250, and I was trying to up that to by another 125. And we're taking out 750 and 490 and 500 more, and I just think that deficit is visual as much as anything as well.
Commissioner, I'm supportive of that in general. My question is for staff, and that is, will that distract from
because to me the priority is to remove the trees first, especially the ones that are dangerous. So I want to get those out. I don't, because I do believe in the next 2-3 years we'll increase the number of trees we're putting in annually. At least that's kind of what we talked about, that we would, once they're down, we can then start investing more money putting back. So yeah. I don't have a concern that longer term we won't be putting more trees back. I would just want to make sure that we're not taking away any resources from removing.
Well, my understanding, and hopefully Michelle will verify this, is that we are actually having private contractors install these trees. So it's a matter really of
just hiring more
of giving these contractors a bigger contract to do that work. We're not doing that work with city personnel.
Right. We're testing two contractors right now.
Okay.
Planting, and these two contractors that we're testing with planting are not the contractors that we use for dead tree removal and regular tree maintenance.
Okay.
So we'll have four different contractors working.
Then can I ask you another question on that in regards or in concert with Troy's group? We're talking about trying to address some of the road issues and fixing some of the curbing so that we have enough right-of-way to plant these oak trees. Are you guys going to be getting ahead of them as they look to kind of change that right-of-way space?
Well, we're also currently out inventorying all the right-of-way to look for places that we can plant trees, not only places where existing trees are, but places where there aren't existing trees. And so we're building that inventory, but we're matching that inventory to the work that Troy's team is doing over the next few years. So we would not recommend planting in the next 18 months, 24 months, in a place where we know that they're going to be going.
Okay.
We would coordinate that effort.
Okay, because I'm supportive of this. I want to get more trees back in. I just want to make sure we're not getting ahead of ourselves with some of this stuff.
No, I think that the great part of the plan that staff have all put together is that we're finally able to say, yes, electric will be here next year, or Troy will be here that year or something, yes. And we're not duplicating efforts or putting something in that we have to take
out. No, we have a plan now.
So I can tell the fact that we actually have that inventory and we're able to actually look ahead and say, yes, we know we can do it here without any detrimental effects down the road. So that's the good part of that one.
Okay.
Tom, my question of bond carry forward money for undergrounding, so if that was specifically bonded, I don't know that we can face our bondholders and said we used it for something else.
Let me explain.
So I don't know what bond forward carry money meant.
It's confusing the way I wrote that. As I mentioned, we've got...
I asked for help in the establishment of that. So I'm going to
plead
the
we have, I don't remember the exact number, something like $1.2 million left in the bond money. We had planned on spending $400,000 a year towards the undergrounding.
Mm-hmm.
That helps us get to our $3.5 million a year. All I was saying is we could spend $500,000 of it next year, the bond money, instead of $400,000. It frees up $100,000 of operating money.
Okay, so money's fungible, but let me just say it this way. I would never spend capital money for something that becomes operational. And planting a tree to me is operational, personally.
Understood.
I wouldn't borrow.
Understood.
30 years at whatever we pay it, even at a minimal interest, to plant trees.
Yeah, but the bond money's going towards the underground.
Right. But if we spent that, then our electricity, I mean, today we're...
It's what would happen in...
Today we're scheduled to make $157,000 net, it seems like, if I looked at this after it's all said and done. What you're saying is let's spend $154,000. What you're saying is let's spend $100,000 of that and net our utility $54,000 when we're done at 2015.
No, sir. I'm saying that instead of in 2015 spending $400,000 of our bond money on undergrounding, we'd spend $500,000 on undergrounding, freeing up $100,000 we were going to spend out of operating funds on
and have the same and have the same.
Have the same bottom line. What would happen though is in 2017 we'd no longer have $400,000 for that year, we'd only have $300,000 for undergrounding.
Well, I still like the $90,000 from selling those vehicles. So which would go into that
would also be to me, I mean I got some personal
fleet, yeah.
I've got some personal ways I don't like to spend money personally. I don't like to spend capital money and then go spend it operationally.
Well, I understand.
So, I mean, I guess you could, in theory, think that trees are capital investments too, but
which I
still don't have,
I
mean,
to,
so. Well, I do accept the trees we've, I'm still waiting for the new vendors to work because we invested a lot of money out of tree fund in 2010, 2011, and we don't have those trees to show today. So maybe we fix that. But there were a lot of dead trees that got after we planted them. So,
yeah. And we're behind right now. We only have 60 trees planted so far this year. And in the last 3 weeks, we've just started our second planting effort for the year. and expect to have 200 in between now and the end of September. So we are catching up on this year right now. And you can see quite a few stakes if you go out in the, what quadrant is that, Randy?
Southeast quadrant.
The southeast quadrant. That's where they're putting stakes in right now.
Southeast. But I guess the issue.
That's you.
That's my
Winter Park. Winter Park.
Did you get a tree? Winter Park.
Which street did we go to on Friday?
Whitehall and Green and.
I think again my point in requesting that we consider this is we're doing a fantastic job of taking down the trees that we need to take down, and that far exceeds the number of trees we're currently putting back in, and that's just
completely supportive as long as it doesn't impact that, and what Michelle's saying is it doesn't, so
and then the other one I had on here was again on the visioning thing. I just want to make sure that somewhere, because we don't know what that number is yet,
yeah,
because we haven't written a scope and we haven't issued it. I just want to make sure that we don't have to compromise the scope because we haven't, you know, don't have a few extra bucks floating around to cover that. So that's,
I don't know if we need to budget that.
I don't know if we need to. Maybe it'd be better to.
It's more of a placeholder, yeah, just to say that, yeah, we just need to be aware that it may or may not be a certain number. We don't know what that is yet because we haven't scoped it.
Don't skimp on the visioning.
I think we got it, but I just want to make sure we got it covered. So that was really the point of that portion of it. And that's all I have.
Mr. Sprinkle, I think your issues have been addressed.
That's what I was just going to ask you. You withdrew the 10, but you're leaving the 60. And,
wow,
and
the 60. Doesn't
we're going to have a we're going to have a we're going to have a presentation on that.
All right. And of your items, Mayor, which ones have been taken care of, and what's still?
I'm still thinking about it. I've listened to
because I was kind of curious about that $500,000, what that represents as a percent of the budget for each department. I know
$500,000 into 44 is 44 million is.
I mean, that's the question. Are we asking people to cut their costs by a percent?
Well, it's the percentage of increase. I mean, in 2013-14, we spent what in the general fund?
43.
And this year we're going to spend.
But the budget went up 1.7 million.
It went up too. We've got more money to spend this year too, guys.
Yeah, but just because you got it doesn't mean you shouldn't put it in other places too. So.
Well, I agree.
I was just trying to understand what degree of a challenge we're asking. I don't know what's.
Well, I will tell you,
it
would be a challenge. I could not cut $500,000 out of the general fund. If it's not capital, if it's operating only, then I got to take it out of it. That means people, and that means services, because it is that tight.
And you're already down some people, as I recall looking at.
Well, we're spending $600,000 more than last year. That's so right. I disagree with your general point, Randy. I mean it. I'm not saying we're going to do that. I'm just saying.
I understand.
I'm just saying, we ran a city last year. We had great service.
But costs go up.
Well, of course,
health insurance alone.
I don't disagree with that. But we're also getting ready to spend money for agencies and other things that we've not spent before.
That's correct.
So I mean, that's part of the tough part about doing a budget is costs do go up, and we need to pay those costs first and foremost.
Yes, sir.
But then, do we continue to?
Sure.
Help other people while that's happening. It's just a question.
Right.
Mayor, did the recommendation that you made to electric and water and sewer, does that stay or has that?
I'm gonna listen to the city manager and consider this.
Because okay. I was just curious about what exact projects would have to be delayed if we implemented that.
I could work up something on that. I did not do that yet.
Well, we don't know what the exact projects were
for
the current
budget.
So
capital projects are real important to me personally. I think that's. A responsibility as a municipality that we have before we have a lot of the other more contributing to the Dr. Phillips Performing Arts Center, for instance. I think Winter Park has to always come first, whether that's our capital projects, whether that's our trees, whether that's our local agencies. To me, as as much as I would like to support that, I only want to do it with what's left over after we have taken care of the needs of Winter Park. So for me, trees, absolutely, I would support Tom 100%. Probably I would ask for more if I thought there was an opportunity to do that. Because when I look at the trees, we're about 700 trees behind of about 795 trees in the last 2 years. We have taken down 1,149 and we've planted 354. Those aren't feel-good numbers for me in a city where trees are so important. So certainly I would be perfectly comfortable taking the $100,000 from the Dr. Phillips Performing Arts Center and putting it into more trees. I have no problem doing that. Sarah, I agree with you relative to the heater for that Katie Way pool. I would like to see the YMCA come forward with their contributions, their fundraising, but I'm certainly very much in agreement with upgrading that pool. Mayor, some of these particular items that you've put in here, I may well be able to support them if I can understand just a little bit what degree of pain we're asking people to endure. That's it has to be something that's doable. But that's sort of where I'm at with everything.
Just back to the Performing Arts Center, I think that just because it's not in our community doesn't mean it would be a huge asset to our community.
Oh, absolutely. I really do agree.
Because we've had residents talk about doing a Performing Arts Center in Winter Park, and I think a 10-year, $1 million investment to a world-class Performing Arts Center that's a SunRail stop or two away. Is it certainly a worthwhile investment? I think that, Randy, we should possibly discuss with them, what does that get us naming rights on anything? I know.
Yeah, I haven't actually heard any discussion of this. I'd love to hear about
it. I think it's pretty preliminary, but it would still be interesting to talk to them about it. So I think, you know, perhaps we can do that. One of the other things I was looking at, too, Randy, is in regards to personnel, we have in there, is it 50% benefits? We want to be within the 50% benefits and 35%. Do we ever look back and see what our employees, what the ratio is to that between employees and the revenue, the general fund, and how we balance that, and how we look compared to other cities, or how we look per resident. It would just be interesting for me to see, are we there? I mean, are we spending more per employee per resident than other, you know, who we consider in our zone? I don't know if you guys have taken a peek at that or not.
We have a lot in the past. We haven't done that in the last couple of years that I recall.
It's interesting to see, because I think 35 and 50 is a great goal, but I'd also like to see it as it relates to either revenue or residents or some kind of, you know, just do we have many more employees versus residents than other, you know, similar communities? Just something to take a peek at. Otherwise, I'm good with everything here.
Unless there's any further discussion about this or no formal actions on the table.
No, sir.
Ready to move on?
Yes, sir.
Okay, with consensus, then we'll go to Commissioner Leary.
You know, I think Ms. Schutz made a very good point, and I think there is so much confusion out in the community these days about what's going on. You know, I had a friend of mine say that they were against density and they didn't like the size of the apartment complex. And I said, well, that's not density necessarily, it's size. They talk about parking lots and why Trader Joe's, you know, why Trader Joe's got certain benefit, while we bent the rules for Trader Joe's and while we bent the rules for Shake Shack. I think there's a great opportunity to get out and lead and have the city kind of dispel some of this misinformation. There can be forums. I know there's certain little neighborhood groups that are holding these forums, but I think it's an opportune time for us to get out there and dispel some of the misinformation out there. Whether it is on specific projects or just in general, PD is a huge discussion. I don't think anybody understands the comprehensive plan. I don't know if they're supposed to understand the comprehensive plan, because I don't think they want to understand the comprehensive plan, because, you know, quite honestly, it's not what they do on a day in, day out basis. But they should have faith that staff and commission understands what we're doing, and I think it should be part of the visioning. And I just like to look for some support to possibly pull together some type of marketing plan from the city, and perhaps it takes an outside consultant, perhaps it's part of the visioning process, perhaps it's part of this entire thing, and it can actually set up the visioning process. And we can do these, I don't know what it is, Randy, whether it's outbound communications, whether it's town halls, whether it's, I know we have our coffee talks, but the fact of the matter is, I mean, I have people with, I literally went to dinner at a friend's house on Saturday night, and he had a density sign in his yard. I said, what's that about? He said, I don't know, my neighbor asked me to put it up there. And I said, well, this is what it's, you know, this is saying, this will get that thing out of my yard. Now, that's not to say there aren't valid concerns about that. I get it. I mean, there certainly are. And I think we should have that conversation. But I do think that, I just think people are confused. So I think there's an opportunity to get out there. So I'd like to see if we can, I don't know whether we get an outside consultant in that leads this. I know everybody's staff is overburdened with a ton of different things going on, especially this time of year. But I do think there's an opportunity, and I do think the city needs to lead in communicating, you know, whether the comprehensive plan is this, and here's the LDC, and this is what the LDC does in relation to the comprehensive plan, and here's what all these different things are, and four-lane roads versus, you know, throughput. I mean, some people don't like the Lee Road extension, but they complain about traffic, and that's supposed to help, you know, the flow of traffic there. And some people didn't like SunRail, but that's supposed to help traffic too. And so there's just a whole bunch of miscommunication out there, and I'd love to try to rectify that. So, and again, I'm not sure what it is, but I think that we need to take the lead on that. So I'm asking for at least two.
I smile for that. By all means, I would support any efforts to get accurate information to our citizens.
And for me, it's been hard because I always have this tendency to want to justify what we did up here, and people don't want that. You know, I have this family at home who tells me all the time, that's not the right answer, Mom. So I know that that's not what we need to do. What we need to look at is giving people the information, because that's really what they want. That's really what they want. So I think we, as a community, could do a better job of providing that. And I'd like to see you come up with a way to make that happen, Randy. It would help all of us immensely.
And it's got to be digestible. I mean, the comprehensive plan is, again, I don't think we can ask for 28,000 people to understand the comprehensive plan, but if they can understand what it stands for, what it does, and again, how the LDC interacts with that, and it would make everybody's life a little bit easier.
I am thrilled with that idea. The only stipulation I would make is I'm not so sure it should be consultants from a marketing firm selling something. What I would prefer is to have city staff set up a, like our coffee talks, only have it be a staff member, and we have a chart that says on January the 20th we're going to talk about the comprehensive plan, planning area A or planning area B, or we're going to talk about the Lee Road extension, or we're going to talk about, you know, so that we have topics that people are interested in, because and then they can come and listen to staff present it and ask questions.
Commissioner,
we do have lots of questions.
And that's one way, but that gets 50 people out.
Well, and I think staff is going to be critical to this. My only concern is, as somebody who spent time going to companies and saying, you may be a little too close to this, you need to take a step back. I think it's always, Tom is a landscape architect. I mean, you go in there, and these guys say, this is what I want. You say, well, give me a chance. Let me show you something else. And they go, no, you're right, that's what I want. And I think it might be interesting to get an outside perspective to say, this is what people are talking about, and this is what you guys are missing, or you're too close to this issue. Even if we enact what they recommend, it would certainly be worthwhile for me to hear what, if we say, listen, we've got these issues in the city, we're hearing this, we're hearing that, we're hearing this, what do you recommend? And they could spend 2 weeks, come back and say, here's what we recommend, and take it or leave it. So
I've seen three nodding, yeah. Randy.
I was fortunate. I've actually spoke three times in the last week. I was at two of those neighborhoods.
That's why there's so much confusion, Tom.
I know. I'm out there spreading. And in fact, I was actually invited to speak at one of the Sunday school classes on Sunday, and we talked about density. And I'm trying to relate that to
the church,
to a biblical prophecy. Kind of like, okay, so
it's,
I mean,
there's a parable somewhere.
I'm trying to remember if it was I think it was the man and his money or soon parted. But no, Steve, I'm with you, because critical to this process, as we go forward, in my mind, with vision and whatnot, is we all got to be on the same page of music as far as what we're reviewing, what we're talking about.
Yeah.
And if we're not, we're just spinning our wheels. And that's why I think, even in writing scope, I think that the five of us have to set the example and say, yes, we've agreed on this, and this is how we're going forward. And it has to be that kind of unifying effort, because that's, at the end of the day, is what we're trying to do, is come up with a vision that crosses the whole spectrum.
Right.
And it's important. So I'm giving it out. If there's a more efficient, if there's a better, more factual way to get out information that people need, I am.
Okay.
You got a hand right on.
There's four, Randy. Mr. Leary, you still have a floor.
Yeah. Secondly, I was fortunate to be in an event last week. I mean, there was a lot of elected officials from around the country there, and I mean to the man, they all and to the
woman.
And woman. Sorry.
Come on.
To the person.
To the person. Yes, I got to work on that.
When I said where I was from, they were all just so over the top about Winter Park. If they didn't know about Winter Park, they heard about it, and somebody would say, "Well, this is what they're doing." They really got all that going on. So, I mean, from Senate to Congress to state level, all these guys were. It's just nice. It's really nice to go in there, and we've got guys from bigger cities and bigger municipalities around us, and they didn't even get a blink. So it's nice to have that reputation going out from here. While we think we have such major issues going on in the city, other people are looking at us as a model and really impressed with what's going on here. So just wanted to pass that on.
What's that? Anything else?
No, sir.
Commissioner Sprinkle.
That's great. That's really nice to hear. It makes your heart feel good. I wanted to mention something I talked to Randy about earlier this week, which is boards, or last week, because one of the things that I'd like to have at our level at some point is a presentation from the boards, because they do so much work and they are out there on the front line all the time. And I'd like somehow or another to have some more participation with the boards, so that we know what they're doing. And I know that we get their minutes, and I understand all of that. I don't want to go to all of their meetings. I would much prefer being able to have them come here occasionally and to highlight their work, because they do spend a lot of time. So I don't know what it is. Just bring it back to us if you get three nods. The other piece of that is Stephen Padiga sent me a note, because he has, and I don't know, did he send it to everybody? Then I'll send it to you, Randy, and you can send it out. He has some wonderful suggestions, because he was on one of these judging groups where he gets to go out to many, many cities. And in doing that, he saw some things that he thought would be great for our city to do. And so I'll pass that to you, and it's all about boards and all the fine work the boards do in our community. And I'd just like to highlight that. So maybe you can come up with a way that we can have more interaction with our boards. And then his ideas are to highlight the boards and to bring back the board.
I think I received it.
Okay.
I believe I received a copy of that.
We have done this.
I know. It's nothing new. This isn't like we're before. Inventing something new. But I think it's something that people miss, and I'd love to see us highlight those folks.
Yeah. Anything else? Commissioner Gooper?
I'm really excited about Steve's idea, and I guess for me, Steve, when I said not marketing, all I meant was I hope that it will be educational, because I think people really do appreciate. Sarah and I were just at a presentation, and I can tell you the people there really appreciate information. So for me, we could do, before we started spending a lot of money on how to package something and how to market it and how to get it down to the lowest common denominator, we might could simply offer educational forums. And there are a lot. I have pulled one of the organizations, I think the Florida Consensus Group through Florida State, what are they? Let's see. The Florida Consensus Center comes from Florida State University, which is a good group to use for that sort of thing, because they deal with conflict. That's what they deal with, people who have diverging opinions, and they come together and help them work. That was one of the organizations I was talking about when I said educational institutions. But I would like to see us educate people. And it's nice to educate the residents. It is essential that we educate our boards. I'm going to tell you now, I have now served on P&Z and the commission, and you do not, when you come in to, like, the Planning and Zoning Board, you don't get an education on, these are our codes, let me tell you what's in the codes, let me tell you where you go to find things. Those are things I think that people in the boards that are making decisions really need. And you can tell by the level of dedication of individual board members how much they have put into trying to learn. But I think we need almost like a regular just training system where we make sure that the way we operate and our charters and our comp plan, and people understand that when they're serving on the board. So that kind of triggered that for me. And the other thing is, now I'm stepping out on a limb here, but I'd like you to be a little open-minded when thinking about this, but I really think that it might be a good idea to put together a committee that looks at revenues. I mean, we talk about expenses, but we don't always focus on what can be done to increase our revenues. And some of those things that just kind of popped in my mind, and there are a lot, you know, there's a lot of them, and it seems like certainly from the commission here we could come up with ideas, but I think if you had a group of people who were dedicated to that, you might find there's more willingness to participate where people don't feel like taxed. They're taxed if it's not coming from us down, if it's coming from the community up. And so for me, I'll be happy to give you my little list of ideas, but the truth of the matter is I think we could come up with some ideas, revenue ideas from our citizens in what they're willing to, what they're willing to pay for that they're not paying for now, or what kinds of systems we might want to put in place. It's an idea. I would certainly like to see us work a little bit on that, as well as just the cost reductions. And of course, one of these days I would like for us to talk about pensions and what we might be able to do in that regard. That's all.
Commissioner Mackin.
I didn't realize today was coin day, or I would have. But I've got a couple of coins, as probably all of us do when we get a call from one of our fellow citizens and say, what do I do about this? I know the first thing I do is usually send out an email to one of our staff and say, okay, what do I do about this? And last week, had a couple of those, and I want to call out George Wiggins and Brenda Moody, who, like all our staff, I think not only answer the question, but also help whoever it is find the best way to solve that. And it's not just a yes or no, but I know both George and Brenda sent out wonderful emails to these individuals that said, hey, not only do you do this, but here's a way to make that even better. And that, I, as we talk about how great our staff is, I think they're exemplary in that comes about. And Joy, I thank you, and I wish Brenda was here to thank her personally as well, but makes me look good, and that's yes. What staff continues to do all the time, and I appreciate that.
That was all about Tom.
That was all about Tom. They all say, thank you, Tom, and I'm going, no, it's really staff. A quick little shout-out. We had that young Boy Scout in here a while back that was working on the Peacock Project in Central Park, and I know they're fundraising for that, and this is just a shout-out. That's still going on, and I think he's more than halfway to where he needs to be, so if anybody's thinking about supporting that, it'd be a great thing to do. The third one's an ask, and I guess I need some shakes of heads here. We were looking at one time when we were talking about the potential use of over MLK of the ball field and whatnot. We're looking at the bowling alley, and I don't know the status of where that is from a property or what has been sold or anything else. I'd like to have city manager maybe officially inquire into that as to, is that property for sale? I think that's one of those strategic things that we as a city might want to look at if it is. And not for a ball field or anything, but just, you know, as an addition to the park. And if that's, I don't know if that's stuff going on behind the table or anything else.
I'm happy to nod at that.
Absolutely. I need to inquire to see what the status of that property is.
I think, don't we need part of that property for some turn lanes anyway?
Yes.
To
well, I think it's advantageous for many things.
Yeah. I know we need it for that.
If that's at all on the market or potentially
is,
I'd like to at least ask.
Thank you.
That's all I have, Mr. Mayor.
We've got something good down there.
I have three items that I would like nods on. The first is I for some time believe that our city needs to bring together, and I think our city needs to be the ones that coordinate this, a group that brings all of our great cultural assets under one place. So I would recommend that we ask city staff to look at the implementation of, for lack of a better term, a cultural advisory board made up of obviously our key representatives that would have membership on this board.
really a group. I know the Chamber had tried this at one point. I would certainly want them to be involved. I know the city has had conversations in the past. But there's a lot of things that I think we could do together that individually the groups may not be able to do themselves that I'd like to propose. So I'm recommending that the staff look into that as a potential advisory board that we would add to our advisory boards and implement that.
Mr. Mayor, you're talking, when you say groups, do you mean like...
I'm talking, well, specifically four come to mind, Morris, Palaszczuk, Creole, not Creole, maybe there's five. Cornell, Morse, Palaszczuk, did I say? Probably Creoldi, just some of those kinds of organizations that are actively working to improve our city and obviously bring a big draw to our city. It's a source of, but I'd like to have a, just like we have an arts board in our city, just like we have a, a lake sport, et cetera. I think this is an important asset to our community. So I don't know if I have three, but I have one.
Should the arts board actually be a part of that? I mean, should we expand?
Maybe, but I think it's totally different. I think this is not a group of people that would be advising those institutions. This is bringing those institutions together to bring general advice. So, I mean, if I was looking at the membership, it would be made up of a representative of Palaszczuk. It would be made up a representative of Rollins, Cornell. It would be made up, hopefully, of and the leaders of these groups, and with whatever city support would be necessary, whereas our arts board is not that specific in terms of who's on it. So
I was just trying to keep down additional staff requirements. I know a board takes a lot of time. I like the idea, by the way, Mayor. I'm just trying to think.
Well, we don't know what it requires yet until they look at it, see if it requires additional staff.
I'm certainly willing not to have them. So
I'm saying three to study that. The second thing is I've heard a lot of commentary about Trader Joe's parking, as you all have. And our answer is, of course, we've parked according to our codes. I would like to have staff, and I need three to review this, just to do a benchmark of our current codes compared to other cities. Is our retail correct? Should it be more? Is that something that we need to learn from this project and address? There was no variances or anything given for parking. In fact, the current project stopped because they don't have enough parking. But I don't want to have a sea of parking lots in our city, but I don't know if 4-to-1 is the right number. So, but that's just my head nodding.
Oh, wow.
I've seen a second.
I think that's pretty easy to do. I think staff has been, I think they.
I'd like to see that as a report back to the commission, because if we need to address it, I want to address it. And then last but not least, I think our pedestrian group has been addressing this. I don't know, but I would like to call for them to bring a report back. Citizens have pointed out to me that we've got a lot of great paths that either come to our city or go through our city, but there really isn't an interconnectivity of our paths today. So I'll use the path along Pennsylvania that doesn't connect really to the path that stops at Mead Gardens. I don't know that we could get to downtown on any of those paths. We certainly couldn't get from downtown to the east side of town without going on a busy four-lane road. And I don't know if we have such a thing as a master plan for trails, or
yes,
I don't know what we're calling that.
We actually do have a master plan, and it's fairly comprehensive.
It needs to come to us, and we need to understand the funding for it. So my very serious concern about that is I think that this is a great opportunity for our city to really improve itself, to be more interconnected. And last but not least, in our budget packet, we have sidewalks at, what was it, of our city, Randy, 64%? Shame on Winter Park. That we're a sophisticated village. We shouldn't have 65% of our streets with sidewalks. That should be something much closer to a higher number than that. So before we worry about that, I'd love to take the paths we have and see if they can't be connected. So I'm looking for three to ask our PEDS heads board as well as our city staff to bring us that back, and then look at really what needs to be funded. We've got a lot of friends in Tallahassee. There's a lot of statewide stuff going on right now. We've got friends on Metroplan. We've got to fund some of this. I think that, much as we hated the removal of the street by PRs, but that might be a path in the future. We've got train opportunities. You know, we've just got a lot of different opportunities to look at. So,
Mayor, while we're looking at that, one of the things that I had talked with some of the representatives of that board about is oftentimes projects come to us, these large projects, and we're not getting the input from that board that says, how can we connect this project with the next project? And for me, that's a really big deal.
Well, I haven't seen any that come to the commission with that, but that's happened. I mean, for whatever reason, they haven't gotten to us. So they need to feel empowered to bring those kind of projects forward. And what I'm asking specifically for is we ought to have that as an item coming up in the next couple of meetings where we can look at that and understand what we need to fund. I think it's a budget issue probably in some cases. But we also have X number $100,000 that we routinely fund sidewalks. So,
and some of it's just these projects, too. As the projects come in, they can do it for us as they do the projects.
So we have a great urban corridor, trail, whatever, that comes into Mead Gardens and stops. And then you go on a brick path to get on a street with, I know it does have one sidewalk on one side of the road, that would end up going I don't know where. So I think we can do better.
That's great. We can do
Mr.
better.
Mr. Sprinkle.
Before we dismiss, do we have anyone going to the League of Cities meeting? You are going? Okay.
So
you're
going to come, we could ride together.
I don't know if I can. We got school starting next week, okay? And I'm kind of pushed. Also, we have the breakfast for the education breakfast coming up on the 21st because we won't meet again before that. I just wanted to mention those. Thanks.
Great. Unless there's any further commission discussion, by acclamation, we'll sit adjourned. Yes, have a wonderful evening.
Thank you, sir.